Thanks, Steve. Hi, guys. Bill and Wendy. Today, of course, a huge day, not just for Illinois, but for the nation. You got five primaries. Actually, six. Did you know there's six today?
Who's with us today?
In terms of...
state-wise.
Well,
primaries.
You have Florida, you have Illinois, you have Ohio, you have North Carolina, you have Ohio, and then you also have the Northern Mariana Islands are today as well. Did you know that?
Not the same day as American Samoa?
No, those are always, you can't put, for obvious reasons, you can't put those on the same day. You'd have nothing but anarchy in the streets. The world would end as we know it. Almost every time there's multiple primary days, they throw in another territory. And the Northern Mariana Islands, for those of you who are not familiar...
We're not.
...are, I guess, closest to the Philippines, if you have a globe anywhere near you, if you look for the Philippines.
It's a big win today.
That they always say, as go the Northern Mariana Islands, so goes the nation. So we'll see what they do, and we'll reflect accordingly.
I learned some interesting news today on the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, fine.
What did? Wait, don't be upset by that, Steve.
It started out so
Tuesday,
nicely.
Tuesday, March 15th.
Thank you very much.
Tuesday,
I was wondering.
March 15th.
I did
that was
not
my
know
thought,
that
was my thought bubble. By the way, now I have an audio thought bubble. I was wondering what today's date was.
Jaligan to the rescue.
Thank God.
Yes.
Forget about Siri.
I was confused. I was going to vote this morning. And then I really am one of those undecided voters. I'm leaning somewhere, but I'm not sure. So I was perplexed. If you vote either Republican or Democratic, you have to go to the polling place and choose what you've registered as.
Right.
But now this is an open primary, which means I can do whatever I want and say, give me a Democratic ballot or give me a Republican ballot. Kristen McQueary is on the line with us to explain this. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I'm baffled. I thought we were discussing this yesterday, and I thought I had to vote in the way that I...
register?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that is not true, is it? And I would like to get this out there for everyone, and then we have tons of questions for you, Kristen.
Yes. Well, I hope they're not anything about geography, because you do not want me talking about whatever islands you were
the
discussing.
Northern Mariana Islands. So go them, go the nation.
Is there a Marianos on the north?
On each of the islands, there is a Marianos.
Okay. Good to know.
So, yes, Illinois has what's considered kind of a semi-open primary, but you can show up at the polls not having been registered with either party and choose that ballot. So you can't vote for, say, like if you wanted to vote for Trump, but you also wanted to vote in the Democratic state's attorney race if you live in Cook County or Chicago, you can't do that. You can't switch back and forth. There isn't a ballot that includes all. But you don't have to necessarily be registered. You can go back and forth each election cycle. Maybe you pulled a Democratic ballot last time. You can pull a Republican one this time and vice versa.
So, Kristen, you don't even have to be registered to vote, or you don't have to be registered on one side or the other?
You definitely have to be registered to vote. We make that so easy in this state. You can register on the same day in Cook County. But you don't have to be registered with your party. You don't have to be a registered Democrat or a registered Republican in order to vote. Some states do require that. Maybe 13 states require that. And it just makes it a little bit harder to get people to come out to vote because you already have to have gone through this registration process and you can't switch back and forth, but you can in Illinois.
But then why register as a Democrat or a Republican if you have the option of deciding on that day you can vote either way? Why even bother to register that way?
Do you
have
really to
register? No, we don't register in the state. Like if you pulled my voting record, you would be able, it's public, you would be able to see which ballot I've been choosing. And people can like make assumptions as to what party you're more affiliated with. But there's no official registration in this state.
All right. Because I knew none of this yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. However, you voted last time around, you will get asked at your polling place. I happen to live in Chicago. So it's always interesting to me when I show up at the polling place, if I pull a Republican ballot in my very Democratic neighborhood, they make sure to say, Republican ballot, you know, kind of out you in your polling place.
Right.
That might happen.
All right, because I seem to remember this now in a couple primaries ago when I was kind of like in John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered that, like, it's all or nothing, as you said. If you choose a Republican, then I can't go for any Democrats that are running for other offices. But there are states where you can mix and match?
I believe it's called a blanket primary. And I don't know that there is necessarily one. There are proposals in other states, like more progressive states, where that has been proposed. But I don't know of any actual blanket primaries. Sometimes they break it up. Like in some states, you could vote for any of the presidential candidates, but then it slides back into party four, like congressional and lower on the ballot. So there might be some where there's a little more mix and match per race.
And Kristen, is it like Louisiana, a nonpartisan governor's race where there's like an open primary there and then the top couple fight it again later?
Does
that sound familiar?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. It's called, I think they call that the Louisiana primary. That's like the kind of the category now. I don't know that any other states do it, but yes, that does exist.
I know this will sound like a crazy question, Kristen, but I mean it sincerely. Has anyone ever made a motion to make all 50 states uniform in the way that they do their process? It just seems so strange that there are different rules state by state for something this important.
I'm sure there have been proposals, but this is something people are very territorial about. You know, Iowa would never want to give up its caucuses. You know, you wouldn't want to give up your Super Tuesday position if that's when your primary is. We changed our primary at one point. We changed our primary date in 2008 to help Barack Obama pick up some delegates.
Yeah.
But in terms of like a uniform process, no, this would be like a state's rights issue, and I couldn't see there being agreement on that.
All right. Now, here's the other question that I have asked other people in the political know, and nobody can ever explain this to me. I'm hoping that that streak ends today. I mentioned that there's a primary today in the Northern Mariana Islands, and you have other territories like American Samoa that has a similar primary. There's other places that do this. But in the long run, they don't have any delegates and they don't figure into the Electoral College. So what good does it even do to have a primary or a vote in those territories?
Because they're ours, I can't answer why they wouldn't have delegates that, you know, they should be able to have a few delegates at the convention. But if they are part of our political process, then they get to vote just like everyone else.
But if you think about it, if you draw it out, let's say you live there in the Northern Mariana Islands, which is a territory of the United States. No matter how you vote today or when the election happens in November, you're not represented by delegates and you don't figure into the Electoral College. So essentially, your vote just doesn't matter.
I think they still are allowed to have a presence at the conventions. I can remember being at conventions where I do see, maybe they're not called delegates, but they're called something else. And they might be able to participate in the party platform or other things that occur at the convention. But I'm sorry, I might not be able to end your streak.
No, that's all right. Nobody, I've talked to so many people about this. Nobody knows the answer to that.
You know, Bill, I don't think voters in Washington, D.C. have electors.
I don't think they do.
So
I don't think they do.
That's closer to the Capitol than the Marianas.
This is what confuses me, too, is if everybody goes and votes.
Yeah.
It's a democracy, right?
Yeah.
But that can be changed because of the delegates? How is this a democracy? I mean, like,
by the Electoral College,
yes,
essentially.
Yes, I'm sorry,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I voted for Al Gore, all right?
Yeah.
Look at me. And he won the election, in my opinion. And he did by a popular vote. But now this same thing can happen with the primary?
I mean, I don't know that I've seen it happen in a primary. You're probably above my pay grade again. But yes, you can win the popular vote and still not get the delegate count depending on your state.
Like
and
Donald Trump, for instance, because the Republican Party, the GOP, is not a big fan of his. So say he wins, they can, you know, change things.
Well,
how is this a democracy?
There's been a lot of debate on that, hasn't there, Kristen? I mean, I've read several stories about exactly that scenario.
Right. I mean, that's a scenario people are talking about. It's sort of the same issue on the Democratic side, where the Democratic Party, under its rules, has superdelegates. So those delegates, like Hillary is supposed to have more superdelegates, you know, at the convention at her disposal, who have already committed to her. And they are usually like local elected officials. So they get a heavier weighted vote than just your average citizen who runs as a delegate and goes to the convention.
This is hardly fair.
It doesn't seem.
I mean,
well, right. It doesn't seem.
I think it's so rare that it doesn't work out along popular vote lines that we don't pay as much attention to the Electoral College, because normally there's enough of an overlay. There's an overlay and you don't have elections where the popular vote is not properly represented.
And remember, in the primary, you're participating now in a party's function.
Right.
You're working as a party member to choose delegates to a convention where they will choose a presidential candidate. So
right.
It's not like you're casting a vote for president in November. This year, you're really voting for a party delegate.
And how important is it to vote today? I am certainly voting, but I know several people who aren't.
You know what? I just posted something on my Twitter account of women in Saudi Arabia during the last election cycle, you know, who aren't allowed to drive, having their brothers and husbands and fathers secretly drive them to the polls and you know, face, you know, terrible obstacles in order to cast a ballot. So go vote. We have an open process in this country. You can register today. They've made it so easy. There is really no excuse to stay home. And if you're starting to make those excuses in your head, stop it and carve time out in your day before 7 o'clock to vote.
Kristen, we have so many listeners with questions. Can we take a quick break and hopefully you can have the answers to these?
I'll try.
She'll do it. I have faith.
Yes.
She is part of the Tribune editorial board. She knows her stuff.
Yes.
She's Kristen McQuarrie, and there are so many questions here. 312-981-7200. I'm out of breath. I don't know who to vote for. What do I do?
It'll be okay. We'll take a quick break, and then your questions for Kristen about today's process at 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Vote. Vote. We didn't have time to edit it,
right.
So we're just doing it live.
People can use their imaginations.
We have Kristen McQuarrie on the line, and a big question that a lot of people have texted is, if you have not registered, can you register today and still vote today?
Yes, you can. Again, it depends on what county you live in. Some counties have same-day registration. That's not a statewide law. But Cook County, Chicago, and I believe most of the suburban areas all have same-day registration.
All right, good to know. Gabriel is calling in. Gabriel, I take it you went to the polls already?
I went to the polls, and I tried to register this day, and it didn't go through. She put in all the information, and all of a sudden the screen went blank when she tried to put it on the card for the electronic voting.
Well, that's a problem.
That is a huge problem.
What county is this person calling from?
Gabriel?
It's McHenry County.
McHenry?
McHenry.
I mean, I would think that's just a glitch for that particular moment in time.
Did they tell you to come back later or something?
I put down my phone number. They said they'd call back. That was at 7:45. So I'm still waiting on that.
See, that sucks because you took the effort to go out there and do it and you were prevented from voting.
Yeah, that's exactly against what we want in a case like this.
Damn.
That's terrible. Awful. Sorry about that, Gabriel.
Oh, thank you. But on top of that, I was also wondering, since you said that you didn't need to say Republican or Democrat in order to go through the whole process, they actually requested that, and they said I couldn't vote on the president if I said bipartisan.
Well, that's not true.
So you have to register as either a Democrat or a Republican. During the initial phases of registering to vote, that's when you had to pick a side?
Well, they told me if I didn't pick a side, that I wouldn't be able to pick a president.
All right, something's wrong here.
That doesn't seem right at all.
No, that's actually correct. There's no bipartisan ballot. Like, if he was asking for a bipartisan ballot, that doesn't exist. You have to choose a Democrat or a Republican ballot. And I think he was saying he didn't want to do that. He wanted to pick a bipartisan ballot for president, but you can't. You have to declare, basically, and I'm not saying that's a registration process, but at least in my polling place, there's two people sitting there with two different ballots, and you just pick one.
Again, remember, you're participating in a party function. The parties are choosing their candidates to run. So if you want to play, you got to pick which party you're going to play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Gabriel, you should call them back, and I hope you get to vote in the primary today, but you get an A for effort.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
How about that?
You can register online, too. That is a statewide law, so if Gabriel or others are having trouble, you can run home or get in front of a computer. I don't know how long it takes, but you might be able to get through a quick online registration process.
Someone said they experienced the same thing in McHenry.
Really?
Get your stuff together.
Kristen, it's 10:28 right now. At what time do you think we'll hear the phrase voting irregularities on the news?
You mean it hasn't happened already?
It probably has at some point, yeah.
And we have a record. We have a clarification, right, about the delegates in North Mariana
Islands? We do.
Islands.
According to Politico, it says, now keep in mind, because of their position on the planet, it's already happened. Their primary has already happened. And it says here that Donald Trump won all 9 delegates for the Northern Mariana Islands. So apparently there are delegates. I know they don't figure into the Electoral College, but apparently they do have delegates.
Well, delegates are different than electoral votes, correct?
Yeah.
Right. So I think probably these are like non-voting delegates. There are actually even non-voting members of Congress. I mean, I know we never hear about them. They obviously don't have much input, but they do have a presence. And so these might be those people I was talking about who will be able to go to the convention of their choosing and at least have a presence and a voice.
It seems like a mixed blessing, though, to be a non-voting delegate, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
this just
I'm
got
sure
so
they...
much more confusing for me.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's why big states like Illinois, we don't care about those little non-voting delegates. We only care about ours, which we have a lot. I think that Republicans are fighting for like 69 delegates, Democrats in the upper 70s. Maybe Steve has a better number. But, I mean, Illinois is a pretty big player today.
All right. Well, we're talking to Tribune editorial board member Kristen McQuarrie, and we are going to do some news, Kristen, and we're going to pick the 2 best questions to come back after the news, and you can answer them, because I think we're all puzzled and perplexed today.
Pick the hardest ones for Kristen.
Yes. We guarantee that.
All right. Hang on a second, Kristen. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're back with news right here, 720 WGN. All right. We have got to get on this because there are a million questions, and we tried to field the ones that were coming in most frequently and most unique. We have Kristen McQuarrie on the line with us from the Chicago Tribune, and we have a lot of questions about today's primary election. Just FYI, from the Northwest Herald, isolated computer issues are causing delays for McHenry County voters today. So just so you know, Gabriel, who called in, who was having issues, they're having computer problems.
Good timing on that.
Well, they can't help that.
No, I know. Just with all that's at stake.
Don't trust a computer. You still need human beings. You still need those sweet little blue-haired old ladies with the donuts who are going to help you out.
Damn, election machines can work 363 days a year.
But not when you need them.
Kristen, here is something that I thought was pretty fascinating that I never thought of. Can you please discuss curbside voting for disabled voters? Many judges do not know it exists and deny disabled voters. Happened to me in the past.
I didn't know it existed until
just now. I didn't
either. What do you know about it, Kristen? Do you know anything about this?
Yes, you're supposed to have a judge from the polling place, and you can have a poll watcher come with you if you want. Sometimes in big precincts, people will have, you know, political parties will have a representative there to kind of watch what's going on. You can bring a poll watcher with you. You're supposed to bring a ballot to them if they are unable to get inside the polling place.
That is something I just learned right now.
Yeah, me too.
Someone has registered online. We went to the Illinois, and it's closed. You cannot register online. Illinois State Board of Elections, elections.il.gov. You can hit early voting, registration and polling information. And when you hit voter registration, now it's open again. It was closed moments ago.
5 minutes ago it was out, yeah.
So you can go online, elections.illinois.gov, and you can register to vote. And early voting, why would people do that? And Kevin, you voted yesterday, correct? Yes, he did.
That is correct.
And it took you, tell everybody how long it took you to vote yesterday.
I waited at least an hour and 45 minutes.
I'm not trying to scare
Seriously?
Anybody off, but that's a long time to vote for a primary, an hour and 45 minutes.
You're a good American, Kevin.
And he went yesterday to avoid the rush because he figured today would be the problem, but it was yesterday.
And just to clarify, because we've been I'm so confused with this whole thing. A listener's texting that during a primary, you have to declare which ballot you want. When you registered to vote, Gabriel had said you had to say if you're a Republican or Democrat, but it's because it's the day of and they need to know what ballot to give you. The purpose of the primary is to determine which candidates for each party will actually run as president. In the general election, it's not necessary to declare a party at all when receiving a ballot. All the parties' names are listed on the same ballot at that point.
Yeah.
A lot of big questions that Bill and I had and some listeners as well is why wouldn't, if this is an open primary, why wouldn't you go vote for a candidate who is not going to win against your main choice? Do you know what I mean?
No, you mean like, would you?
Like, I'll go cast a vote for somebody because I just say want Bernie Sanders to win. So I would put a vote for someone that I think Bernie Sanders could beat.
Or if you think, if you're a Hillary Clinton supporter and you think she has a better chance against Donald Trump than the other candidates,
right,
you would throw a vote Trump's way so that tactically your strategy would pay off.
And strategy is what it is. What can people do that? And do people do that, Kristen?
You know, not in huge numbers. I've seen a couple of cases where they've done that. I think they call it crossover voting, where someone who traditionally picks a Republican ballot crosses over as a form of strategy to try to knock somebody out. I've heard that with the anti-Trump movement, there are some rumors, like I heard in Boston, which is a very working class, blue collar, has very precincts that are that way. People are, instead of taking Democratic ballots, picking Republican ballots and voting against Donald Trump, choosing one of the other candidates. We, in our governor primary in 2014, there was some evidence that union members, who sometimes tend to vote Democratic, were crossing over and pulling Republican ballots to support Kirk Dillard against Bruce Rauner because they saw Bruce Rauner as, you know, a real threat. And they did. There was some evidence that there was crossover voting in that primary, but it's not widespread, and it's not usually, it doesn't throw elections in a totally different direction.
Here's a text from 847. Could you please ask if you can vote at any polling place if you have your voter's card? Can you?
No one has a voting card. I don't have a voting card. I never bring my voting card.
They just ask for some sort of ID.
Yeah, and everything's, sometimes they don't even. Someone said again that they've been voting at the same place for 30 years and they went and it took them a half an hour to find their information, which is just crazy.
I know. You have to keep in mind, though, like these ballots, especially in suburban Cook County, they are very, you know, your ballot is maybe different from somebody else's because maybe you're in a different congressional district, you're in a different state rep district. So, you know, there are lots of machinery in motion to make sure that everybody gets the right ballot. And that's why they want you to go to your polling place. And if you are in suburban Cook or Chicago and you need to register today in person, you have to bring two forms of ID, one with your address, and you have to go to your assigned polling place.
You do. All right.
And you can find out where that is online at elections.illinois.gov. You can punch in your name, your address, and it'll tell you where your polling place is because you can't just go to anyone. And now that I'm looking at the voter registration online for the upcoming election, it says it is now closed. So you could have done it online, but now since it's the day of, you're going to have to go to your actual polling place to register. Is that where you register, Kristen?
That's where you, if you are not registered to vote and you are in suburban Cook, Chicago, or one of the collar counties that allows in-person day registration, you can go to your polling place and try to register today and vote. If you have trouble voting, there's also something called a provisional ballot that you can fill out. They will keep your results, but they will not tally them into the totals until they verify that you are an eligible voter.
She's Kristen McQueary. I hope she's cleared things up. And in closing, 815 says, I just voted, and I have to say in the 36 years I have been a voter, I have never felt so much anxiety as I entered the polling place. I took the candidate quizzes online. I listened to hours of news every day, but still do not feel confident in my choice. It shouldn't be this way. I know I'm not alone. So take that to the polling place.
That's the desperation we were hoping for, Kristen, isn't it?
You know what? It's so accurate, though. It's so true. I have not voted yet today, and I'm sort of like Wendy, where I'm just, you know,
back and
do
forth.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Right. And there's a lot of confused people that want to know if they can get ashes at the polling place. They cannot, correct? That's separate.
That's a different day.
Right.
No ashes.
All right.
Thank you so much for clearing some of this stuff up, Kristen, and may the vote be with you.
and to you.
Thanks, Kristen. And we're going to talk to you tomorrow about the aftermath of whatever takes place today. That'll happen tomorrow on tomorrow's show, huh?
I will be there.
Excellent.
I might be hungover, but I'll be
there. That's fine. Even better.
So will we.
Thanks, Kristen. Take care. All right. A quick break. We do hope we cleared some of that up for you. We'll talk about Tech Tuesday next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Tech Tuesday, Bill. It's a Tech Tuesday. We're talking to Bridget Carey from CNET. She's a senior editor and also a hostess of the CNET update. Bridget, there's a new way that we can sign on to or pay for items on Amazon, and it sounds crazy to me.
Well, Amazon's trying to make it a reality. You can't do it just yet. But Amazon just filed a patent so you could pay for things with a selfie. It's another way of thinking about biometrics replacing passwords. We use our thumbprints. People try to use their eyes to scan and to get access to their phone. And now, take a little selfie, smile for the camera to get whatever you want on Amazon. That's the concept. But they're not the first to think of it, MasterCard actually has been starting work on this, too. And it's just a... when it comes to password security, we talk all the time about this stuff and how you have to be smart with your passwords and still people can hack. You can't hack your selfie, I suppose, but well, I'm sure they'll try with
Kristen,
photos and videos.
What if you look like I look a lot like Ryan Reynolds, so wouldn't it be very easy for me? Yes, I do. I look a lot like him. Wouldn't it be easy for me to hack his account and charge things to Ryan Reynolds' card?
Good for you if that's how it works out for you.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe that's just a perk of being so handsome.
Sure.
I would say there is probably two layers to this. You have to be in the app, signed in already, and then instead of having to retype in a password, it's just a quick selfie. And that way, they don't have to make it so, because iPhone users right now can buy things with a thumbprint, but what about the Android users and the Windows users?
Right.
So, by having something like a selfie, it works across every device. You don't have to think twice about it.
I'm mad at Amazon right now because, you can share your Prime membership with family members.
Sure.
And sometimes your 13-year-old son will put stuff that he wants in your cart and save it for later and then do something nice for me and then go, oh, by the way, can you order that? So I went to order a phone case for him last night. And all of a sudden, my account is enabled, so it's one swipe, and I already paid for it. And
oh,
I said,
nice.
Wait a minute.
Nice move.
So Amazon makes it too easy to spend money.
You have to be careful. I've had that happen to me, too, where suddenly you're like, wait, too fast. I didn't mean one click to order, right?
I know. Yeah, I don't want that. I know I can go in and change the settings, and I will. And the great thing about Amazon is, honestly, you can go right in and cancel that, and they're very good about that.
Oh, good. Very good.
Yeah, as long as you're quick about it, exactly.
All right. So Amazon, you can maybe pay with a selfie, something to look forward to. And another thing online that I spend a lot of time on, although Bill does more than me, eBay. And sometimes maybe you want to sell something and you're too lazy to ship your items yourself. So what's going on?
Well, eBay partnered with a company called Ship, spelled SHYP. And this company will come to your door whenever you request in 20 minutes, take the package you want to have mailed off, box it up for you even, and $5, boom, it's gone. And this is for, Ship has existed already, but eBay partnered with Ship for some cities, including Chicago, to say, hey, if you're an eBay customer, we'll waive that fee. And it could just be an option so that in 20 minutes, they'll take up to 20 sold items and pack and mail it for you. And that fee is waived through the end of June.
Oh,
so
wow.
Really, there's a lot of competition right now from a lot of apps. You might have seen commercials, things to help you sell your used stuff.
Just
take a photo. And so this is what eBay is doing to kind of, make it a little more easier. Stay with us. Don't go to these other apps. Poshmark is one that like does it for clothes, and they send you the package to mail it all out. And you think it's all just easy, and it's all taken care of for you. But so now that's the new battleground. How easy is it to get rid of your stuff?
Kristen, I don't know if there were everywhere, and I don't know if any of these still exist. But there were eBay shops for a little while. There was one near me where
like
all you had to do
brick and mortar.
Yeah, you would just drop something off. You would tell them an approximate price that you wanted to sell it for, and that was it. And then they would call you or email you in a few days.
But
and
they
say
got commission, obviously,
they got
right?
a high commission. But the shop that was near me was in Wilmette. It came and went within a year. nobody was buying into it.
Because I guess no one needs the middleman. You can do it yourself, especially now if they're going to pick up these sold items from your door. What a great idea.
And, of course, Ship wants you to be aware of it so when you don't use eBay and you want to just send something to anyone in any kind of way, you'll think of them now. You know,
I'm going to. I have two things that I ordered online for the boys that didn't fit, and it's been sitting on my dining room table for a month. Mm-hmm. And all I have to do is slap the label back on the box, but I don't feel like doing it. I want somebody to come in my house, do that, and take it away.
Ship happens, Wendy. You need to know that ship happens. What about this, Bridget? Wendy and I were talking about this off air. It's the Illinois primary today, and Wendy said, at some point, we'll be able to vote online, won't we? But that's really easy to corrupt, right? If somebody had an election online, you could trick that election very simply, I would
imagine.
And
vote 10 times in a row.
And that's exactly why we don't have online voting. It really comes down to... I mean, you're hearing debates about, you know, how can we keep our photos safe and how anything is hackable, really. I mean, even the cars we drive, we used to talk about that, how hackers could, like, take over, you know, cars. And so, yeah, you don't need that incentive for people to start taking over the voting process.
So when the election results were tabulated and Ariana Grande won and she's president,
vote for her in
a
second.
She'd be a good president, actually. All right.
Her as Britney Spears.
Yes. Yes.
What's coming up on the CNET update today, Bridget?
Well, we're also talking about a brand new Roomba. The iRobot company makes those robot vacuums. They made a robot mop that's really tiny. It's square. And it's only $200. Now, the downside is that you have to be home and set it up because it only do one room at a time. But, you know, the new thing is if you want your, you know, kitchen or your small bathroom space done, $200, you know, it's kind of like a robot Swiffer of sorts. It just kind of mops and goes over three times and boom, you're done.
And does it work? I mean, does it clean your floors? Is it small enough to go under that lip of the refrigerator that, you know, you could go under a little bit?
You know, it's square, so it's not going to go under the lip of the fridge, but we usually don't like how mopping robots work. We haven't had our team test it yet because it's actually going on sale today, but you'll see it in stores April 1st. So between now and April 1st, if you're interested, you know, wait for the review to see how well it'll do. But it does look more powerful if you look at the specs inside, so maybe it does do a better job cleaning.
CNET.com, that's where I find all my information. Thank you so much, Bridget.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Tech Tuesday, we'll talk to her again next Tuesday. It's Bridget Carey of CNET at CNET.com.
It's news time coming up next. Steve will give you that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I think it's appropriate on this election day that DirecTV did a sampling of some of their customers about lies and when you lie and who you lie to and the severity of lies. I'm not sure why DirecTV is behind this, actually.
Because they're liars.
Is that why? I can't figure out for the life of me. I read the results and I went, this doesn't seem like it's DirecTV's territory, but they did it. So let's talk about it.
Well, they just got a free mention.
I guess, and you know, this has been said many times, that most of us on a daily basis lie to some extent.
I cannot. We were just talking about this yesterday off the air. Was it the three of us and Bertrand too? We were talking about lying. I used to be such a great liar.
When you were younger, you could pull it off.
You're a teenage girl. You got to lie about maybe where you're spending the night so you can stay out later.
Yeah.
And now my problem is I'm way too honest. Yeah. I offer too much information.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just the mere act of somebody, you know, how many people on a daily basis go, hey, how you doing? And you go, fine. Even if you're not quite fine, it's just easier sometimes to go, couldn't be better. Fine.
Because that is, no one cares when they ask you. That's just like the new hello.
Right.
Hey, how's it going? They don't care. It's just a salutation. Don't you agree?
It is. Yeah, it is.
If it's someone you haven't seen in 6 months, how have you been?
Right.
Then they mean it.
Then
and they
there's
want,
something.
Then
right.
You can open up.
I know I've told you this, but I remember a few months ago we were in a restaurant and my wife was saying, we ordered the food and nothing was right. There wasn't a single thing that was right. And then the waitress came over. How's everything? Oh, couldn't be better. Fantastic. All right. It's easier, right? All right. So here
it
are.
It is easier, Bill.
Now, they did a whole bunch of different surveys in terms of who you're lying to and which lies are okay and which lies are not okay. Let's start out with the white lies. And how would you qualify a white lie? I would qualify that it's a harmless.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt anyone.
Right.
Maybe spares them some feelings or something.
Yeah, right. How do I look? You look fantastic.
I should learn how to do more white lying.
Please do. Please do.
Because I'm way too honest.
Here are the most common, according to the people surveyed. And they talked to a lot of people. 2,000 people. DirecTV did. Yeah. All right. So these are the most common white lies that are told. 92% of us, it's the one we just talked about. Somebody says, how you doing? I'm fine. 92% of us lie. We've got something wrong with us. We just don't want people to know what's wrong with us or that there is something wrong.
Well, I'll tell them. That's why people don't ask how I am anymore.
Right.
Because I'm like,
we just assume there's problems.
Sit, have a seat. Let's right. chat for a bit.
How much time do you have?
Right.
Oh, well. Here's the second most common white lie that is told. I love this present.
Oh, I don't even say that. See, I need to learn to say that. I go, what did you get me this for?
That's going to come back to bite you. You know that. I don't understand this one. Sorry, I'm sick. I don't get that one.
Like,
do you understand that?
Meaning you can't go somewhere?
Yeah, I guess that would
make
sense.
Hey, you want to come to my dinner party?
I can't.
I'm sorry, I'm sick.
I can't. I have the junta virus. I cannot attend.
The what?
It's a virus.
Sounds dirty.
It is dirty. What about this one? 72% of people admitted to this. Oh, you know what? I did not see your text. So you sent somebody a note, hey, meet me here at a certain time, and then later when you don't show up, did you send me a text? Because I did not get it. I did not see it. I didn't know you sent me one.
I have to bring up an example of the texting situation. Last night, Kevin texted us about something, and I responded pretty immediate, didn't I, Kev?
Yeah, you usually do.
And he said, you know, still waiting to hear from Bill. And I'm thinking, you probably don't really have your phone. Once you're home, I don't see you.
I don't keep it on me ever.
So you could actually say that.
It's legit.
Yeah.
Well, the other one, and this is true, is I don't know how to send out group texts. Like, I get something from somebody.
Kevin, you said
you're
that.
You're recapping our conversation from last
time. Okay, but all you do is answer it, and if a
does
group,
it go to everybody?
Well, if a group text has been sent to you, you just respond, and it goes back to everybody.
Oh, then I do know how.
And I'm telling you this as a friend.
Yes.
Because sometimes you will send things back to a group text that you think is just one person.
And it goes to everybody?
Yes.
Oh,
so just
then I want to apologize for everything I've
careful.
Said over the last few years.
I am warning you as your friend.
So it's different than a group email, because with a group email, it's a different set of buttons, isn't it? It is,
and
right?
And you know how to respond to that, because I've seen you do it.
I know.
It's reply
some,
all.
Some, you get an arrow, like that's a thicker arrow or something, right?
No.
Mine doesn't say reply all. Mine has two arrows. There's one thin arrow,
you know,
and a
Gramps,
thick arrow.
I'm surprised he gets through the day.
I knew it. I knew it.
Thick arrow, I think, is an Indian chief. So he's getting texts from me, and I don't know why. I don't even know who he is. What about this one? Do you ever lie and do this? You see somebody you haven't seen in a while, and then you say, hey, you know what? Let's keep in touch.
I especially when I've been drinking, I make lunch dates a lot.
Sure, that you don't follow through.
I don't mean them.
It says 70% of people are guilty of doing just that, saying, "Yeah, you know what? We should do this more often."
Can I tell you, you are so the exact opposite, because you don't say that to everyone. But I've heard, like, when people come in here that we're old friends with, or you're old friends with, and you're like, "Hey, we should get together and play tennis or something," and they're like, "Okay," because they're like me, like, "Sure, we'll do it," and you're like, he gets out his phone and he goes, okay,
yes.
Listen, give me a good date.
Let's figure out when now.
It's
let's
like,
figure it out.
I hate people like you.
I do that all the time because I don't believe in pretending. Like a lot of people pretend, hey, here's something we'll do in the future, and then you never do it. If somebody says, yeah, we should do that, I do let's figure out a time and a date right now. Let's have it written down.
See that? I don't like having things hanging over my head. Even fun things. Seriously.
Even the fun things?
I agree with you, Wendy.
This is happening right now. I could share my personal emails with you. Just call me Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
I got a group text or a group email from all my friends who are trying to figure out a day to do a girls' night out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even answer because I wait for 10 dates are thrown out and I never answer. And the last email came over said, all right, well, let's just figure out a date so then Wendy can tell us yes or no. It to me is a waste of time of everyone. I can do this. I can do that. I just
you
wait
just
till
know
it settles
the end result.
Down. Yeah.
Right. I understand that. But somebody has to take the initiative because there's too much of that kind of just...
I am not the take the initiative kind of girl. You know that.
No, I guess.
Kevin,
I guess.
It's called anticipatory anxiety, by the way, when you have something hanging over
your
head.
Well, you don't know. I mean, like, if I make a plan with a friend in
something could
2 weeks,
up.
That, or maybe I'm tired that day. I don't know.
See? And that's it. And I don't mean like you're waiting for something better to come up.
Right.
It's like, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe you've just had a hard week. Friday night's tough for me to go out.
Oh, yeah.
But totally. if you don't set it kind of in some sort of concrete... Then nobody would ever do anything.
Duh.
If you just left it up to the last minute.
But last minute stuff is more fun to me. Like, hey, you want to go play pool tonight?
Yep.
I'm okay with that too. But like we there's times where my wife will set something up, a dinner date with friends of ours, 3 or 4 months in advance. You know, and I'm fine. I like looking and going. I have that that's coming up in June 9th is coming quick.
I don't even know if I'll be hungry that day
or alive.
That's true. We may all
be dead by then.
I just used the line, and if you ever hear me use it, you know what I'm doing. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
You say that to us every day.
I hear that a lot from
Kevin. I swear to God, you say that to me 10 times a week.
That's not what I meant when I say it to you.
I don't know.
That to me is very reassuring. I just want to hear that, even if you don't mean
He's lying when he says that.
I don't care. See, that's a white lie that makes me feel better. If we're trying to figure something out and he says, no worries, we'll figure that out.
Yeah,
I'm
we'll
like,
figure it out.
Awesome. He's the best producer ever.
That's what I'm putting on my wedding RSVP when Kevin sends those out. How many are you coming? What time? We'll figure it out.
Well, we're still figuring out the wedding anyway. So
all right, maybe. All right.
God, that makes me feel good when you say that.
More lies coming your way next. We should be running for office, shouldn't we? It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
The last chance.
Speaking of lies.
Yes. I'm not lying. I'm just stretching the truth.
For all the results and reaction tonight, watch primary election coverage with Mark Sapelsa and Micah Matera on WGN TV News at 9 and 10.
All right. For reasons nobody understands, the people over at DirecTV asked 2,000 people about lying, when they lie and who they lie to. We're telling you the ones that are told the most often. Number one is just, I'm fine. If somebody says, how are you? You just say, I'm fine. You're lying, but it's better. The world will go faster.
608 says, I lie when I call a radio station and say, love your show. I'm not lying when I say you're a jerk.
Oh, no. It's come to this. The Trump effect.
Oh, that was from Donald Trump.
It was?
I'm sorry.
Oh, all right. Here's one that I may have heard at some point a long, long time ago. This meal is delicious. Sometimes you'll go to somebody's house and they'll cook something for you and it's not good. And you go, this could not be better.
I hope no one's lied to me when on Thanksgiving every year.
I don't think anyone has.
Your soup was, I swear, very good.
You just want me to bring you more
food.
There's
a glowing endorsement.
But if it was bad, I wouldn't want you to continue bringing me food.
That's true.
The next three are almost all identical. I'll tell you what they are, but they're all kind of the same. If you tell somebody, yeah, I'll be leaving in 5 minutes, or this one, I'm on my way, or I'll be ready in 15 minutes. Those are all kind of the same.
I send them all 1 second apart.
Right.
I am always late.
Right.
Poor planning on my part. Wendy and Bill, in order to be a good liar, you have to have a good memory, so no contradictions later. And I have the worst memory ever. And there's nothing worse than getting caught in a lie, which I did a lot when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
So I hate that feeling. I think that's why I don't lie anymore.
Yeah. That you would have to have an outstanding memory to be able to pull it off.
I can't remember what I did yesterday.
This one hurts my feelings. This is the 10th most common little white lie. You know, you don't need to lose weight. You look fantastic. But again, the alternative to that is to saying to somebody, I know you're trying to lose weight, but you're not doing a very good job.
Well, you
How
don't
is that?
Say it like that.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're trying to be honest.
You're saying, you know, don't talk religion, politics, or weight with people.
Right.
Add that to it.
Right.
Because, you know, if somebody says, hey, I've been on this diet forever, I haven't lost a pound, really, what do you say? Maybe you could say, well, stick with it.
Right.
So you're saying I didn't lose a pound.
Right.
It is a trap.
It's the worst of all traps. Now, they also asked people in their lying survey over at DirecTV about which of these lies. They gave them 20 different lies that are commonly told, and they said which of these are the most severe and which are the least severe. Now, interestingly, all the questions that had to do with sex are at the top of the list, are the most severe. For instance, this lie, I'm on birth control. That is considered to be, of the 20 they gave out, that's the most severe. And it probably should be because there's a lot at stake there.
That is a life-changing lie. That's a lie that can ruin someone else's life and your own. So you're lying to yourself, bimbo.
They said 4.5% of people have used that lie. They're comfortable in admitting that. Here's another one. These, like I said, the first few are all sexual related, and then they're not. I'm not just looking for sex. That's number two.
Well, that's a lie because everybody's
fairly
just looking
severe,
for sex.
Right. Yeah, that's an easy one to read, isn't it? This is one that probably has come up if you've ever been a part of a couple, and I hope most of you have been. I sincerely do. I have slept with blank number of people.
Yeah, don't bring that up.
It's best to not know.
Just say a couple. Let that be your standard answer.
Yeah. Now, here's my guess. As awful as this will sound, this is just a guess. My guess is that men would lie with a higher number and women would lie with a lower number, don't you think?
Yes. If they're lying.
Don't you imagine? Yeah.
Just don't be truthful on that one, people.
Right. Always have an attorney present for that one. How about this one? This is another one of the sexual ones, and then they're not. You are the first person that I've ever done this with.
Oh, really? We know that's a lie.
you're the first
person I've ever done a radio show
sure,
with.
Sure, of course I am. I always wash my hands after using the bathroom. Is that a severe lie or not a severe lie?
If you have to say it,
right.
You're lying.
Right. Right. Do you consider this to be a severe lie or not? I have never smoked.
I don't even care about that.
That doesn't even figure in for you?
What does that matter? Unless, I mean, if you're telling your doctor that, he's going to know or she's right. going to know differently.
Right.
If you're telling someone else, it doesn't matter. That's
right.
just a useless,
that
that's
doesn't
a
matter.
Moot
All right.
lie.
All right. That, I will, you know what I'll do is I'll put that under the category of moot lies. I just started a new category for you, and that is under moot lies. Do you consider this to be a moot lie? I miss you too. Oh, that one's terrible.
Who lies about that? Although, you do get in the habit, like if somebody says, I love you too. You answer back.
Although you've heard me do this on the phone. This is one of my favorite things to do on a phone is when I'm ending a conversation with somebody, like if it's a business conversation, I will say at the very end, I love you, just really quickly at the end, just to see if they will say the same thing back.
No, you don't. Excuse me. You do that sometimes, but sometimes you are really caught and it happened.
Like what? Give me an example.
Like if you're talking to somebody and you're used to signing off with your daughters or your wife, I love you. I've heard you do it to somebody you didn't mean to do it to. And then you make a joke of it.
No, whenever I do it, I mean, I do it to the people I legitimately love.
I think you're lying right now because you're not looking at me and your eyes are shifty.
Kevin, I've said that to you. I'll end a conversation with Kevin and I'll just go, I love you, just to see if he'll say it back. And you always get this. It's like some bunch of letters and words
we'll
that aren't.
We'll figure it out. Does he tell you?
Yeah,
that?
We'll figure that out.
Yeah, that's a conversation I'm not ready to have yet.
All right, that's fine.
Because we have all gotten in the habit, the Snyder Max, of saying, I love you, goodbye. The kids say that all the time.
Right.
And when my older son is around friends, I can tell he's around friends because I'll go, all right, well, I'll talk to you later, Michael. Okay, Mom.
All right, got to go. One
I was
of those.
Like, really? Oh, I don't get an I love you, goodbye. But it's like ingrained, so half of me thinks, we don't even mean it. We're just saying it.
Right.
Like the I miss you too.
Right.
But who hates to hear I love you every day?
Can I tell you the most fun to do is sometimes when I order, I will order food. And then at the end of the order, I will say I love you and just wait to see what they say. That's the best. I love you too. All right. See you in 20 minutes.
You're so weird.
I just love doing that.
Did you ever, like, you're giving your address to somebody and then you say, oh, it's a house in LaGrange, and then you go, oh, can you tell I order food a lot? You're just giving your address not to order food, but to someone. Like, hey, Kevin says, could you give me my address for I need to mail you something. Sure, it's blah, 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 blah. That's a house in LaGrange
as
opposed to an apartment.
Oh, yeah.
I do that a lot.
Well, I wouldn't give Kevin my address until he admits that he loves me, and then I will give him my address.
Bill, we'll figure it out.
All right, we'll figure it out. All right, we'll take a quick break. News is next, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Bob. Such a pleasure working with you.
Me too.
All right, kids going away to school. You are in this dilemma,
mm-hmm.
college.
Mm-hmm.
I have a junior, so I feel like I have all the time in the world, but I don't know if that's necessarily true. On the line with us right now, Marianne Reagans. Now, Marianne, let me get this right. You have won more than $400,000 in scholarship money for your education, and now you've turned this around to help other people get scholarships?
That is correct.
You are a nice woman.
And brilliant if you've pulled this off. That's not easy to do. How were you able to do that?
I am a very busy person, so I get a lot of questions and answer a lot of questions.
I was just telling Steve Bertrand, our news guy, pay attention because we're going to talk about scholarship money, and he said too late because his kids are in college already. That doesn't matter, does it?
No, you can actually win scholarships once you're in college as well.
See, now, I would not have guessed that. I would have thought just the opposite. How does that play out, and why don't more people know that?
I think that the push is when you get the letter that says you've been accepted and it says how much you're going to pay, then you rush around and you're wondering, how are we going to do that if there's a gap between whatever the school has awarded you and whatever you have? And you worry about it before they actually hit the campus. And then once the student hits the campus, they're worried about going to class and they don't even think that there's money there available for them, when in actuality there is. They need to get involved. They need to do the research. And one of the things with the involvement is that some of the activities that they're doing, they may have scholarships associated with those. And that might be things that they're doing with the student's government and things like that, where they can get money.
All right. I have a junior in high school. Is it too early to start applying for scholarships?
Absolutely not. And that's an excellent question. And that's another thing that is a myth. A lot of people think that, let me just wait until it's high school senior year. So there are actually scholarships that you could win as a high school junior. There are scholarships that you could win as early as age six. So one of the
six?
The ways
did
you
say six?
That, yes. My daughter is, she's eight now. She actually just turned nine. But when she was 8 years old, she won a scholarship, a local scholarship. So one of the ways that you do that is community service. So if your son is involved in community service, and even if he isn't, he can start getting involved and doing some things in the community, maybe volunteering with some walk-a-thons and Red Cross, and maybe even if he's on a sports team, you can always clean up things. There's so many things that can be done. So a lot of the ones that are for younger students are based on community service. But they're also, they could be based on contests. Like, for example, if your son likes to write. Now, unfortunately, my son does not. But if he likes to write, there are contests that are focused on writing essays on all different types of topics where he could start applying for those. Nordstrom has a scholarship that juniors can apply for. There are also scholarships that are associated with science and STEM types of activities, so science, technology, engineering, and math, where he could apply for those as a high school junior. So, no, it is not too early. And I could go on and keep talking, and you tell me to be quiet. So there are lots of ways that you can get money before you're a high school senior or even once you get into college.
Your book is called Winning Scholarships for College, How to Reduce the Tuition Bills with Scholarships and Other Strategies. You mentioned if he likes to write. Are essays always required for a scholarship? Because that just seems like a lot of work.
No, they aren't. But what I will tell you, having said that, the largest essays. So let's just say that you might be looking for a $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, $20,000 scholarship. A lot of those may be associated with writing an essay. And there are ways to actually make it easy. I do boot camps and workshops where I talk to students about how to get your story out without stressing yourself out completely. However, there are scholarships that are based on doing videos. There are so many people now that have these smartphones, and they think nothing of taking their phone out and let me just do a quick video of whatever I'm watching. And they could just translate that into doing a video in order to, like, for example, there's a video-based scholarship on how to control teenagers texting while driving. There are other video-based scholarships that focus on other efforts in order to educate and provide awareness on topics and issues that we have.
Marianne, as Wendy said in the intro, you've won more than $400,000 in scholarship money. Now, is that for yourself or overall?
Now, when you say, that's for myself.
That's for yourself.
Overall,
right.
Yes.
But here's the question. More than likely, your education will not cost quite that much, luckily. So what happens to that surplus money?
That is an excellent question. So in that total of, and it was actually about 417,000. So in that total, there are scholarships that were actually awarded by colleges and universities. So as soon as I chose my ultimate university, then I automatically lost those other scholarships that I was awarded. Hmm. Now, the other part of that is that there are also scholarships in there that come from foundations and organizations and sororities, fraternities, clubs, and things like that. And it really depends on the organization. So, and I will tell you, most checks are going directly to the college or university. If there is any excess, it's still with the college or university. Now, some organizations that will say, if there is an excess, you can give it to the student. So for me, I actually got spending money each semester while I was there at college.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Because of some of the scholarships that I won. So it really depends on where the source of the money is coming from.
I have seen scholarships popping up. I mean, I guess I've seen, I haven't paid attention to it before, but with a junior in high school, I noticed Coca-Cola has a scholarship. It's not a lot of money, but little ones can add up. My kids have ADHD at the psychiatrist's office. Shire ADHD, their medication, they're offering a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
All these can add up, even though maybe it's only $200.
Absolutely. And I tell students all the time and parents, I say, even if it's and people think $400,000 and it's all big money. There are scholarships in my amount that were as small as $50. And $50, that might buy a book, half of a book, maybe a few hamburgers in college, but it can certainly add up, and I don't ignore what I call the small stuff. So it can definitely add up. And you mentioned Coca-Cola. I'm actually a Coca-Cola scholar for one of the bigger ones. So they have a lot of money out there.
So where do we find these? Is it just a Google search? Where can our kids and we as parents, do we have to help our kids find some of these scholarships?
I will tell you that for the most successful students, usually there is some parent involvement. And usually the parent involvement is helping with the research, because I do tell them that this should be the student responsibility. So I normally tell you to look at three different locations. The first is absolutely the Internet. That can make things so easy for you. There are several websites that can be gone to that are what I call scholarship search engines, like, for example, fastweb.com, scholarships.com, and then, of course, you can do general Internet searches using an advanced Internet search so you don't get 50 million results that drive you crazy. And then you should also search locally. That means right around you in your backyard. Most people ignore the community foundations. Many community foundations all throughout the country, they have money that's specifically for students right there, right around them. So they should also search locally, because there's money from fraternities, sororities, companies that are headquartered in an area. So they should definitely do that. And then they should also use directories and books. And when I say directories, there are directories that are these huge books that have all types of scholarships, like, for example, the Shire and things like that. And they're organized almost like telephone books, which students don't use anymore. But they have special sections. Like, for example, you might be female. You go to the female section. Let's just say you might live in Illinois. You go to the section for Illinois. Let's just say you do have ADHD, or you have another disability. You may be legally blind. You may have diabetes. You can go to that section. You may be interested in studying chemical engineering. You go to that section. And you can find all of the scholarships that are specific to you and your situation.
And does the amount of scholarships you get, Marianne, affect you positive or negatively if you're applying for financial aid? That doesn't play into it at all, does it?
It depends. And I normally tell students that when they're looking at their future colleges and universities and they're putting them on the list, they should check out the financial aid policy, because there are some colleges and universities, when they see that or they've been notified that a student has all of these outside scholarships, and outside scholarships mean that the scholarships will travel anywhere, then they may reduce the amount of award or aid that they give you. So, and then there are some colleges and universities that don't do that. So what the student really needs to do is research, check it out, and then they need to make an informed decision as to if they really want to proceed with that favorite college or university.
We have Marianne Reagans on the line with us, mega scholarship winner and author of the best-selling guide, Winning Scholarships for College. And your website is scholarshipworkshop.com. And kind of conversely to your question about someone who's applied for financial aid, what if you're coming from a middle class family, two incomes, maybe you have more money and you're not going to get financial aid? Can you still apply for scholarships?
Absolutely, and that is an excellent question. What you want to look for is achievement-based scholarships. Like I mentioned Coca-Cola, when you mentioned Coca-Cola, that is an example of an achievement-based scholarship, and I believe now the total is $20,000 that you can win. So you want to look for scholarships like that, and that means that you could be incredibly rich. You don't even need to be middle class, and you could still apply for that scholarship because it's based on your achievements. The other is community service-based types of scholarships, where it's really based on what you do for others. And because a lot of organizations like to feel that if they invest their dollars in you as a student, it's going to go beyond you. So there are scholarships that are based on the community service that you do. And even with those scholarships, they don't care about grades, and they don't care about the amount of money that you may have and that your parents have to incomes.
So you don't have to be a straight-A student?
No, you don't have to be a straight-A student. You do not. And that's also another myth that a lot of students and parents have. I mentioned the video-based scholarships. I mentioned the community service-based scholarships. Those are all examples of scholarships. And then there are also, even for some of the writing contests, I mentioned that, they're not asking information about your grades. They're asking information about what you do. So, no, you don't have to be a straight-A student.
There was a debate a couple of years ago, Marianne, and I don't remember who the NBA player was, but some former NBA star, basketball star, his son was getting all kinds of scholarships to colleges. And, you know, this was a guy that was making tons and tons of money. And then the debate was, why would that kid get scholarship money? Obviously, every school wants him, but his parents are extremely wealthy. He's going to be fine. Give that scholarship money to some kid that really needs it.
But that kid may not have applied for it.
Yeah, I know. But it's a tough call, isn't it?
It can be. What you need to go back to is the mission and the goals of the organization. If it is an achievement-based scholarship, if it's based on a special talent or skill or hobby, if that is the primary basis for why they decided to set up the scholarship or the award, then they've got to give it. Whether the student's parents has millions or billions of dollars, they're going to award it based on that. So, and I understand the debate, and if I were in that situation, I can totally understand it, but they really need to go back to why that scholarship fund was set up.
We all have to get this book if we're thinking about sending our kids to college, or if they're in college, because it's never too late. Her name is Marianne Ragins, R-A-G-I-N-S. The book is called Winning Scholarships for College. I was telling Bill off the air that we're half Italian, and my brother just found this thing online, The Order Sons of Italy in America, and applied for a scholarship. And I think a while ago got maybe $1,200 for it. So they can be found. Do you give all these websites and where to look for scholarships in your book?
I do. And you mentioned The Sons of Italy. That's actually in my book. So, wow, interesting.
Got to get this book. What are some of the, before we let you go, some of the craziest and wackiest scholarships out there that you've heard of?
I think one of the craziest ones that I've heard of is the Stuck at Prom contest. And that is where you and your date, if you're going to the prom, you dress completely in duct tape. And you create your outfit. The boy creates his suit and the young lady creates her dress, and it's duct tape all down to the shoes. You know, a lot of us think duct tape is just gray. No, it's many different colors. There's also another scholarship where if you can call a duck, don't ask me how you do that, but if you can call a duck, you can actually win a scholarship based on your ability to call a duck.
Now, you probably wouldn't get a free ride to most colleges based on those, would you, Marianne?
No.
I'm guessing just a partial, yeah?
No, you wouldn't.
All right.
Most of the scholarships like that, they may be like $2,000 or $3,000. I think the Stuck at Prom may be $5,000, so it's not going to be a full ride.
We're going to do a quick break, and there are three more questions we have to get because listeners are going crazy for you. Her name is Marianne Ragins, and the book is called Winning Scholarships for College. 312-981-7200. More on scholarships next. Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We're wrapping up here with Marianne Reagans, winner of more than $400,000 in scholarship money. She's president of the Scholarship Workshop. You can go to scholarshipworkshop.com. And the book is Winning Scholarships for College. A couple of questions that were texted in for from our listening audience here. What if a kid is going to school in the fall and hasn't applied for any scholarships? Is it too late right now?
No, it's not too late. If they're looking to take care of their entire tuition bill, potentially it may be too late. But what they want to do is use what I call last-minute strategies. So that's where you want to look in the community and look at those community foundations, do an advanced internet search for scholarships, and put in your city and your state. And when you do that, you should find scholarships that are right around you. The ones that are more locally based have a tendency to have a later deadline. So you may have deadlines in mid to late March or even April. So they should definitely do that. And then the other thing they should do is start ramping up for once they hit the campus in the fall, do the research now for scholarships that they may be able to apply for in the fall as a current college student.
Scholarships available for adults going back to school. There are some, aren't there?
Yes, there are. First of all, they should look for non-traditional scholarships, and there are non-traditional scholarships for non-traditional students. The other thing is that they should look for scholarships that are available to undergraduate students or standard college students, because even though they're an adult returning to college, they're still eligible for those scholarships that are for college students. The other thing they should do is look at associations that are specific to their career field, because a lot of individuals that are going back to school, they're pretty certain about what they want to do, what they want to major in, and there are many associations that are affiliated with so many different career fields, and they should look for those.
All right, we are out of time pretty much. Her name is Marianne Reagans. You can go to scholarshipworkshop.com. You can pick up her book, Winning Scholarships for College. And I'm sure the answer to this question will be in there. What if you have an average kid with average grades? Our kid got nothing, no help from the university, and not eligible to even apply for scholarships. Is there something out there for them?
Well, and they should go beyond scholarships. And then that's when they should start looking at contests. For example, an essay writing contest, a video-based type of award where they're going to win money based on some of the things that they do. And they should look at those that are based on community service. They can help someone, and that can get them money, just being average and just being a good kid, but an average kid, and they can get money based on that.
And that's all in the book, Winning Scholarships for College. So nice to talk to you, Marianne Reagans. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Wendy and Bill. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Marianne. Appreciate it. All right, so a quick break. We'll check in with Steve next and find out what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's us, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you so much, Bob Kessler. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And at 720 WGN yesterday, Bill, I don't remember, it was about this time or a little later in the show.
Yeah.
You were talking about seeing Mark Roberts' new play.
Yes.
And how you were able to suspend belief or disbelief and forget it was your friend and to let yourself get into the play mode.
Right. Correct. And you made fun of me.
I didn't
and threw
make fun of you.
Me.
I just, you know, when we watch movies and we watch things, we have that escape where we're not thinking about anything else, hopefully.
Right.
But you had an epiphany or something at Mark Roberts' show.
I did. I had an epiphany, or any of the teenage girls that sang in malls in the 1980s, where I said most of our lives are spent, when you're watching TV or movies or plays, you're basically tricking your brain into believing you're watching something, and I marvel at that.
Well, speaking of tricks, Michael Patrick Thornton in the studio with us right now. Michael, you have had roles in The Dilemma, Private Practice. You've been on television. You also have a play going on right now, and you're in a wheelchair.
What?
I know. I'm sorry to tell you. Sorry to break
spoiler
the news.
Spoiler alert on that one, Michael. Sorry about
this.
This
is true.
But in the and that's how you've appeared. That's very
lazy,
funny,
though.
By the way.
It's easier
to just sit in a chair.
It's easier.
Of
You're
course
like a,
it is.
Like a king.
But when you do the Gift Theater's production of Richard III, it's going to be different, isn't it?
It is different, yeah. So Richard III is the first production of the Gift Theater, which is my home base and my labor of love. It's our 15th anniversary season. So we're kind of returning to where we first met, which was the Steppenwolf Garage through the school at Steppenwolf years ago.
Yeah.
And so we're leaving home to kind of return home in a way. And so I'm a proud board member of the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. When I got sick in 2003, they put me back together again with physical therapy, speech therapy, some of which involved doing Shakespeare monologues and sonnets.
Really?
Yeah. And so, you know, in this play that is largely about, how this guy wants to be seen, and he thinks the reason why no one will give him a fair shot of being a king is because of his disability.
Yeah.
I think he thinks, well, if I change that, if I can get vertical, maybe they'll respect me more. So what RIC has done, and a company called ReWalk, is they've provided us with a robotic exoskeleton, which I wear, for a large part of the second act, that has me up vertical, walking around, looking down on people that I've looked up to for, you know, several years acting, because I'm usually sitting and they're standing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this perfect marriage of art and technology that slots perfectly in with the themes of Richard III.
This has or has not been done before?
My understanding is I'm the first actor in the world to perform on stage in an exoskeleton. I'm still waiting for the Guinness Book of World Records to drop off a case of Guinness, some swag.
We just learned just last week that the Guinness Book of World Records and Guinness beer was somewhat related. I never put the two together.
Are they somewhat related?
They are.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. That may be happening.
Maybe. We'll see.
How did that come to be? How did this happen that you'll be the first in the world? That's very impressive.
Well, you know, Richard III was supposed to happen at a theater called Next in Evanston about a couple of years ago, and the Next unfortunately went under. Huh. So then Tracy Letts reached out to us, Steppenwolf Ensemble member and Tony Award Pulitzer Prize
winner. Homeland cast member.
A Homeland cast member. Yeah. And he said, what can I do to help? You know, and so he set up some meetings at Steppenwolf with us, and we decided, okay, well, let's get the band back together. Let's salvage this show and do it at our, at Steppenwolf. And that opened up some opportunities of like, well, what could we say with disability about disability in this space that we couldn't in the other? And so I met with Joanne Smith at RIC, and I knew that they were working on some of this exo technology that I had seen.
That's the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago.
The Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago, exactly. And they're the number one place in the world for stroke and spinal cord rehab. And we thought, well, what if we put this in the show? I think it just fits perfectly into this guy who thinks, once I'm up tall, then they'll respect me, which is just kind of his huge fallacy.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if he's disabled or not. He's just not the nicest person in the world.
What a cool idea.
Thank you.
What was it like for you to get in that exoskeleton suit for the first time?
Well, I had to start training, late October, November. So we just opened up, early March. So there was a few months of training, and after the first session of just pouring sweat, I thought, what in God's name have I agreed to here?
Sure.
Like, just walking around in the thing is taxing enough, let alone talking, let alone talking Shakespeare, let alone talking Shakespeare in a space that's, you know, charming, not acoustically perfect by a long shot. So there's just a lot of balls in the air to do it properly. And it's the trippiest thing, because for me to walk properly in this ReWalk exoskeleton, I need to kind of yield a bit of how I think I want to be walking, right? Because it's a robot. It's programmed to go a certain way. But at the same time, it's calibrated differently based on how strong I am that day, or what strength I have in my legs and whatnot. So it's kind of like a wearable scene partner and kind of like an ambulatory conversation in a way. And it's like the two of us kind of collaborate and become a third thing. And I can't quite describe it, because Act Two, like the Richard in Act Two, is very different in some ways than the first one. And I think a lot of it's this robot. It just makes you feel like the beginning of like cyborg technology like that. And it's very trippy and it's very powerful.
What does this do to your focus? The focus that an actor's going through in a play, especially one as meaty as this, there's a lot that's playing in your head. So where is your focus considering the fact that you're wearing this suit that's altering your movement. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and I think probably 3 weeks ago, my answer would have been the opposite. You know, I think when we were getting into run-throughs with the robot at Steppenwolf, act two, I almost dreaded because I knew how exhausting it was going to be.
Yeah.
But now my endurance is up at a certain point where it's almost like a break. Like once we get into intermission and I have to get out of the wheelchair and into the exoskeleton, to me, it's almost like I get to go on a ride now.
Right.
And so to answer your question more clearly, in terms of my focus, I feel like I can focus better in it because I'm not worried about tipping over.
Yeah.
You're not? You trust it 100%?
Well, I trust it, and I also trust Kate Scanlon and Kristen Hull, who are the two physical therapists from RIC who helped train me, and they alternate being a character in Richard III who stand behind me in the robot just in case anything goes down. But it's a great question because I think it simplifies things. You know, now I'm standing, I have my walker, I feel secure, I feel powerful standing up.
Right.
And I can just be with my scene partner and play the reality of that scene.
Yeah.
So it's only when I'm walking and talking at the same time, it gets a little more complex.
Yeah.
But it's a real joyride.
We are going to have another guest that ends up in the Guinness Book of World Records, you know. That's our goal.
We want to have a lot of guests who do that.
You got to have a gimmick, right? You know?
That's the thing.
That's kind of the thing.
Right. This is so incredibly amazing what you're doing. I mean, to show you can do what anyone else can do, and you've been acting, and how do you feel about actors like Gary Sinise, for instance, and Forrest Gump, who it was computer-generated? You can be that actor. You are that actor.
Yeah, it's a big can of worms question. You know, I've met Gary a few times, and I think the work he's done with his foundation is fantastic. I catch some flack sometimes from the disabled community because I don't necessarily agree that only disabled actors should get to play disabled characters, because I think the purpose of the arts is for us to understand each other a bit more and to create more empathy.
Yeah.
You know? And so just because I can't play Lance Armstrong in a movie, I wouldn't then conversely deprive a non-disabled actor from getting to play a disabled character. That performance was tremendous.
It was great.
And it certainly changed his life in terms of what he's done with his, you know, his band and
right.
And
his
that's
foundation.
I just pulled that out of the air because that's the one that stands out for everyone.
You know, I just wish that the playing field was a little more even in terms of disabled artists getting a chance to even audition for these roles. I think the representation on TV and film was something around 1% this year of disabled
1%.
Characters. And you're talking about a demographic that has about 40 million Americans. So it's just very lopsided.
And disabilities are out there. We see it every day. I loved Michael J. Fox's show that he came out with, and I was sad that didn't continue. Mm-hmm. When we watched The Facts of Life, what was her name?
Sherry Jewell.
She had muscular dystrophy, I believe.
And she was on Deadwood, too. She was incredible.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, the list goes on and on and on.
It does, and I think...
The list's getting bigger, though.
Yeah,
and I think we're kidding ourselves a bit because, you know, statistically, not to be a downer, but we're probably all heading there someday, you know? So why not tell some great stories with people who have a firsthand experience and have a perhaps more personally rich point of view?
No question.
To have a more in-depth conversation about it.
We're talking with Michael Patrick Thornton. Again, the show Richard III is going on at the Gift Theater, and it runs through May the 1st. TheGiftTheater.org is your best bet for ticket information. We'll continue this next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I have a correction to make, by the way. Jerry Jewell, who was, I remember her from Facts of Life. I did not watch Deadwood.
Mm-hmm.
Cerebral palsy.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely right.
In the studio with us right now, a guy who co-founded the Gift Theater. You're also the artistic director, landing a recurring role on ABC's Private Practice. I love that show, by the way. Michael Patrick Thornton, and also a part in The Dilemma, the Vince Vaughn film directed by Ron Howard.
Yes, The Dilemma is trying to find me in the movie, but
but
it was a great experience.
That happens sometimes.
It does happen.
That
happens. Okay.
It makes it more interesting.
It's a great experience
for family and friends to come and try to find Waldo in the crowd scenes.
Yeah.
What do you think the future is? As we pointed out, if you weren't listening earlier, Michael is the first actor to use a robotic exoskeleton as part of the Gift Theater's production of Richard III. Are you optimistic about the future in terms of this sort of technology?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, I think the only reason it probably seems a little science fiction-y right now is because the price of all this technology is significant. But I don't know if it. I think it's Moore's law, right? Of that every year the computer chip, the processor gets smaller, and then it gets cheaper and cheaper. And
yeah,
we're already seeing kind of wearable technology with the watch from Apple. Mm-hmm. You're going to see implanted technology probably soon, you know, and so
think how far the prosthetic limbs have come.
Right. I mean, it took a while.
I mean, a
prosthetic limb didn't really change in design from the Civil War till almost. I mean, ironically, it was at RIC, my doctor, Todd Kuiken, who invented the bionic arm.
Oh, really?
You know, and so we kind of got stuck in a holding pattern for a while architecturally on prosthetics. And, yeah. and all out of nowhere then, there's this explosion of innovation. You know, and they have the smartest people in the world working there. I mean, it's just an incredible
And we have
institution.
Them here in Chicago. How cool is that?
And it's in Chicago. I was very, very fortunate when I got sick that this place, which... You know, we had never heard of, and you don't hear of it, you know,
until you need it.
So you need it, but when you need it, you know, thank God it's there.
I don't have to tell you, acting is a tough business. Jobs are hard to come by. Were there times? I'm guessing there were probably times where you thought, because of what I've gone through, I'm going to be limited in my roles as an actor. Was that a hard reality to face at some point?
It was, and it still is. You know, I'm sure I still lose out on jobs because of a gulf of not understanding what disability is about, or thinking, well, it might be too much of a hassle to have them come and do this movie or do this whatever. But, you know, I think a lot of actors never get to answer the question for themselves, do I really need to be doing this? You know?
Yeah.
And I remember in the darkest days where the only thing I could move was my eyes. I couldn't really even talk. I was on a ventilator. That getting back on stage was the driving engine for my recovery. And so to know that specifically, you know, as a 24-year-old, no, this is actually something that's kind of part of my DNA.
Yeah.
No pun intended, was a gift. I wish I could have learned it in a less kind of palpable way, but that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
And also, you know, thank God that I had started a theater company, The Gift, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because I could certainly return there and do stuff. And Steppenwolf has had my back for over 15 years. You know, I mean, they were the first company after I got sick that reached out and was like, we're looking at stuff for you. And they got me back on stage in The Alpha Man. They got me back behind the table directing in A Mice and Men, which is where I met my wife, Lindsay Barlag. And so they became a second home, and they still are a second home. And then other theaters followed suit, and Looking Glass. And
good.
Yeah.
Good. Were you John Merrick in The Alpha Man?
I was.
You were?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's quite a role too, isn't it?
It was. Yeah. It was very cool. You know, so it's very trippy, you know, to return to these spaces. Like when I was at the Steppenwolf Garage for the school at Steppenwolf, you know, I wasn't disabled then. I was running around and training with my friends. So to kind of be back there in this new context, it's very surreal and kind of strange. All of that's useful to play Richard III.
Yeah, I would imagine.
There's no stopping you. There is no stopping you. You know that.
No, I mean, I'm sure something's going to, but
well,
not,
something's
going
to stop
today.
All of us.
It's a long enough timeline.
Way, way, way in the future.
Exactly.
It'll be stopped, but not anytime soon.
Michael Patrick Thornton, you have been all over the internet, all over the place. This is really exciting, and congratulations to you.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me on.
Richard III, the Gift Theater's production runs through May 1st, so get your tickets. You can go to steppenwolf.org. That's the best place to get tickets. You can subscribe to thegifttheater.org, get a subscription so you know what's coming up and what's happening. So nice to meet you.
Thank you. We'd love for everyone to subscribe to our 15th anniversary season, so get online and do that. That'd
Absolutely.
Will
Thanks,
we be
Michael.
Looking for you in TV or movies anytime soon?
Yes. Actually, there's a TV project that's coming out soon that I can't say on what thing, and then there's an independent film I had done a year ago that'll be shown in Chicago soon. So
nice.
Come back and tell us about it when that's ready
to
happen.
I would love
happen.
To.
You're on. Thank cool. you, Michael. Appreciate it. A quick break, and then more show coming your way after the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm hungry now.
Well, sure you are. I mean, lunch was 35 minutes ago. You're going to get a little hungry. You're only human, for heaven's sakes.
I had cafeteria sushi today.
Did you?
California rolls.
Two words that should not go together.
You're right. I know. And now I find it funny. So now that's what I call it.
I'm constantly amazed that you trust this cafeteria or any cafeteria to provide quality sushi.
You know, you eat somewhere every night, and yet you still can bash me about my choices.
I'm not that big of a sushi fan, but if somebody said we were going for it, the last place I would pick would be this cafeteria. With all due respect to the good people who run the cafeteria, that wouldn't be where I'd go.
Now, when you say all due respect, what respect
there's
is
none no respect.
I have little to no respect, right?
They have very good onion rings.
Do they? Well, all right.
Is that what not you had for lunch?
Yeah.
Is that on your list, Phil?
I'm not sure. No. Here's what they've done over at MSN. They realize that we're, most of us anyway, are trying our best to eat what's healthy and what's good for us. Oh, it's impossible to do it all the time. But they're saying, watch out for these particular foods. If you're trying to eat healthy, avoid these foods at all costs. Some of them are surprises. Most of them you kind of already knew. But they way up at the top of the list, they've got fast food iced tea as being one of the worst possible things if you're trying to eat healthy.
Because a lot of people, that surprises me.
You would choose that over, you know, soda pop or something like that. You go, well, that must be good. It's iced tea.
The sweetened, like the sweet tea, because that probably has a ton of sugar, but just regular iced tea with no sugar.
It says there's some, now I don't know what this is because I'm not a tea drinker, but propylene glycol alginate, does that mean anything to you? Do you know what that is? I don't know what
that is. It's a chemical that's not good for you. Why is that in tea?
I don't know.
My God, I swear when I think I'm going to give up diet soda, because now it's not because I'm dieting. I know I should be. It's just because I like the taste of it.
Of diet over regular?
Absolutely, because you get used to it. I used to be a Coke fiend, Coca-Cola, all the time. And when you made the switch, it's now Coke tastes funny to me. But every once in a while, I think I'm being healthy by getting the iced tea with lemon.
Right.
No sugar.
Kevin, could I get audio of Wendy just saying I used to be a Coke fiend in case I ever need that? Thanks. Thank you. It says, what is a food additive that's also used as an automotive antifreeze and runway de-icer?
Glycol.
Exactly. Actually, they admit this here. There are a few of these, because don't they always say, isn't Coke or Pepsi something you could put as a...
Oh, you can clean your toilet with Coke.
You can clean your toilet with it. Right. All right, so the aforementioned propylene glycol alginate is a food thickener, a stabilizer, an emulsifier, and it can also cause cardiovascular or neurotoxic issues.
Well, in great massive doses.
It's used, well, it doesn't say how much of it you need before you're doing yourself some harm. But people who tend to drink this will drink it with some regularity, don't you find?
I don't drink iced tea all the time, but like Diet Coke's better for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All things in moderation. Bacon's not good for you.
No, that's true. That's true. Diet sodas are on the list, by the way. Very, very high on the list. So many people for so many years thought this is the healthy alternative to drinking regular Coke or Sprite or
Pepsi.
Can
I tell you who really have come a long way with diet soda? Diabetics.
Because why?
Because they couldn't have sugar, trying to regulate their blood sugar. And my dad was a childhood diabetic, and... So we had Tab in the house all the time, so we could have soda when we were having soda.
Yeah. Tab is now an energy drink, by the way. Did you know that? They still make it, but they market it now as an energy drink. I don't know why.
Are you sure it's not a spinoff? Because I know like Mountain Dew has an energy drink.
No, it's the same logo and the same kind of pinkish color.
Yeah.
I've seen it in stores a couple times, but in the energy drink section instead of Diet Pop, it says, what do cancer-causing artificial colors, flame retardants, and fat-causing fake sugars all have in common? Those are all ingredients in your favorite diet fizzy drinks. I know a couple people that are so addicted to Diet Pop, and they're not in the best shape. And you would think, boy, if all you drink is Diet Pop, that would at some point pay off, but it just doesn't seem to.
There are, you know, the world is not all black and white, Bill. If you drink diet soda and you eat a ton of calories, you're going to be fat.
Yeah,
if you drink diets, I drink it because I like the taste of it. Because you know what? Honestly, I used to drink Coke all the time.
Yeah.
And in radio, for some reason, Coke with all the sugar in it made me have
Oh, really? Yeah.
So I switched to Diet Coke and I don't get that.
Problem solved.
Chemicals don't give you, you know, spilkas.
I guess not. They should use that as their advertising slogan. You would think microwave popcorn could probably be okay for you, wouldn't you? It's just popcorn. What could go wrong there?
Tons of chemicals.
It's got, it lists the harmful ingredients, and I can't, other than the words trans fat, I can't pronounce any of these. These look like dinosaur names.
What do they say?
Diacetol.
If you can't pronounce it,
it's bad
for
you.
You shouldn't be eating it.
Right, right.
So if you were to not microwave popcorn, the microwave popcorn, it's still bad for you?
No, if you take just regular corn and pop it over the stove with
air pop it,
but I'm
or with oil, that's
no
still
butter.
No, you can still have the butter. Yeah. It's the chemicals in these little compact things that pop in the that make it pop.
Because I would sometimes do that, like open up the microwave bag and then just pop it on the stovetop.
Well, check the ingredients.
It's probably
no,
still bad.
Then you're still buying the same product.
Right.
Just go buy. You can buy a pound of popcorn for like
$1.69. Yeah, I'm aware.
And
yeah.
Then what do you do with it?
You pop it.
Pop it. Put it in a pan, some
butter,
oleo.
Okay, Mr. Crossword Puzzle.
Stephen was in a band called Oleo Speedwagon for a number of years. Did you know that?
Never.
They were
on.
Rich and buttery.
Right, they were. They were. If you thought the movie you were watching was terrifying, then you probably haven't taken a very close look at your popcorn recently. When air popped, the snack has filling fiber and whole grains that we love, but the microwavable varieties of popcorn are an entirely different beast. Many major brands like Jolly Time and Jiffy Pop not only contain heart-harming trans fats, but also line their bags with, this is a big 30-syllable word. Are you ready? I can't even begin.
This is my favorite part of the show today.
We end at 3 o'clock. If I started to say this word now, I wouldn't be done at 3 o'clock. It starts with a P-E-R-F-L-R. Look it up on the internet. It's the same toxic food that's found in Teflon pots and pans.
See, so this list is like chemical-infused foods that are bad for you.
Yeah, predominantly,
because
yes.
Because remember, for so long, don't eat butter. You have to have margarine. Oh, it's parquet butter.
Right.
Now they're saying butter is better for you because it's pure.
Right.
It's the chemicals that are killing us.
Same with sugar. For a long time, you would avoid, if you were a soda pop drinker, you would avoid Coke, Pepsi, whatever had regular sugar, but now there's a move to get back to that and away from any
natural cane sugar, away
that's
from
it.
The sorry, Orion, but the high fructose don't corn
it.
Syrup.
Don't
but that's
it.
What's making us all fat. Our bodies can't process it.
Right, right.
They can't. It's a foreign object.
Now, you say most of these are chemical based, and they are, but the next one I'm going to tell you is not, and this upsets me because this is something that I partake in quite regularly, thinking, well, this has got to be good for me, and it isn't. Let's take a quick break. I'll tell you what that is next.
Good tease,
you like that? Did you like that? All right, more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, we're discussing the unhealthiest foods available to you. Ooh. Are you trying to stay healthy? You might want to consider strongly avoiding these foods. They're not good for you. Now, I just mentioned there's a food on this list that I partake in quite regularly.
Come on, get to the point. You left us in suspense long enough.
Fruit juice. Stay away from fruit juice.
Oh, tons of sugar in it.
But wouldn't you think, just by virtue of what it is, how could this be bad for me? It's a delicious cup of cold vitamin C.
Why do you slam me all the time? You're not so smart either.
I would think.
Who would think?
I would think it's you. Would you? Wouldn't you say to yourself, considering the alternatives of the things I could be drinking, a glass of orange juice or grapefruit juice, that can't possibly be bad for me. But as it turns out, it's not the best thing in the world for you.
Tons of added sugar and chemicals probably too, huh?
Even when they say, like orange juice, you know, you'll see on a label where it says 100% pure orange juice. And you go, well, then what's wrong with that? But they still process it through like these sugar glazed machines that picks up some of the sugar. Even though it doesn't register on the ingredients list as sugar, it's still being cut through sugar somehow.
Well,
it's not good for you.
I didn't know that to be true. I just know that there's natural sugar in fruit. And when
so why do they keep saying to you that fruit is good for you, but fruit juice is bad for you?
Two different things.
But they're just squeezing the fruit into a giant vat. Why would that make it bad for you?
Because there's fiber in the actual fruit as well. You're not getting the fiber in
the
juice. You're just getting the sugar.
Yeah.
But it's oh so good.
It's isn't it?
Like
isn't
the pomegranate it? Juice.
Oh, except normally with pomegranate juice, because for some weird reason, it's really expensive to process pomegranate juice. So they almost always cut it with either apple juice or some other juice.
Get palm.
$5
for a bottle this big.
I know. A 2-ounce bottle.
I know.
Girls, you can't go to college this year because we bought a 64-ounce bottle of pomegranate juice. But maybe next year you can go to school. Thanks, Dad. You're welcome.
We're healthy, though.
Yep. Coffee creamer, as it turns out, is bad for you. I don't drink coffee, so I don't know anything about that.
I use it all the time, but can I tell you, if you can leave some kind of thing that's called creamer out all the time,
yeah,
there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Milk's supposed to be refrigerated.
Right.
You are not surprising me with any of these.
Chinese food, that doesn't surprise you, does it? It says avoid Chinese food mostly because
MSG
of the monosodium glutamate, but I always say leave that. I don't want any. I keep it off my food.
I've heard that that was a product of, like, I don't remember exactly, but I've heard that MSG is actually not that bad for you.
That's not what it says here. It says one small dose will kill you, Kevin.
It does not say that.
I wrote that in. I wrote it in, so it does say that.
A little dab will do you.
Right.
There are a couple of restaurants that say, you know, we don't use MSG at all, and it's very tasty. But when I was pregnant, we ordered Chinese food from our usual place.
Yeah.
And I said, please hold the MSG.
Yeah.
I kid you not, it tasted like the gravy was water. There was no flavor.
Because
it's a flavor enhancer,
yeah.
And it seems to really work. They have perfected it since Michael was born 16 years
sure.
ago. But the first time I got it with no MSG, it was terrible.
Was it really? Now, normally places that even say that their food, Chinese food places that say they're not using MSG, for some reason, it's still in the egg roll. They'll always warn you, we can't help it. It's in the egg roll. There's nothing we can do. But I bet they could make it without it if they wanted to. Don't
I'm
you
thinking
think?
The key is they don't make the egg roll. They get them.
Oh, they farm it out?
Yeah, they
Maybe.
Get it.
All right.
They farm it out to America.
Maybe. It's possible. stay away. Again, if you're trying to be healthy, these are foods you want to enjoy. I'm sorry, you want to avoid, not enjoy. You will enjoy them, but avoid them anyway. This is according to MSN. All those energy drinks. And that market keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I remember years ago, if you looked at any grocery store, you would only see Gatorade and then finally Powerade or Truade for a little while. But now, if you look at Juul or Mariano's or something, there's 65 or 70 different kinds of just power drinks and energy
drinks.
Well, the
Gatorade's not energy. This is like Monster and Red Bull and things like that. Gatorade has electrolytes, which is really good for a hangover, preferably the Glacier Frost Blue.
You enjoy that one the most?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one for you?
And that's tons of sugar, too.
They say that with energy drinks, the three main components that are screwing with you are sucrose, glucose, and caffeine. Caffeine, obviously.
Well, those are Monster and Red Bull.
Like the O's sisters.
No caffeine in Gatorade.
Sucrose, octrose, and caffeine.
Right. Manny, Moe, and Jack. Avoid that if you're at the Pep Boys. That's not good for your diet either. It says ice cream here, but I crossed that one out because that's...
You can't just cross it out.
That's the best food on the planet. I don't want to say no to ice cream. Breakfast biscuits are bad for you, as you would imagine. Maple syrup is not good
for
you.
Why is maple syrup bad for you?
It has high fructose corn syrup. And
damn it.
I know. Well...
Everything does.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a tapper on our maple tree. And get my own maple syrup.
Famous syrup brands like Aunt Jemima and Mrs. Butterworth are made with two ingredients that we're constantly telling readers to avoid. These are your health-harming, high-fructose corn syrups and caramel coloring. I can't figure out why. Forgive me for not knowing this, but I'm not a chemist. What is it about caramel coloring that's bad? What could that be?
Well, it's a color. It's an additive. It's not natural.
Yeah. So that's
not just caramel.
But that wouldn't. But what's in it that's screwing up your system?
Chemicals?
I know it's not natural, but
that's it.
That's
it's
it.
Not natural. Do you think the cavemen walking around had sucralose and things like that?
I know for a fact they did not.
They would have if they'd have figured it out,
right? If they weren't too busy hunting buffalo and did something constructive.
You don't want to eat path kill in the color it comes in. You'd rather color it.
Right. That's so true.
Can I answer your question?
Yeah.
Caramel color added to many soft drinks and some foods to turn them brown may sound harmless, even appetizing. But in no way does it resemble real caramel. Some types of artificial coloring contain potentially carcinogenic chemical called 4-methyl...
That's not how you say
it. So that's why it's dangerous to you, because there's some chemical you can't pronounce in it. It's not just... And here's my question. Why don't they use caramel to color it?
Well, caramel's just heated milk, isn't it?
And
isn't
sugar.
That how you make... Yeah, that's how you make caramel, isn't it?
We don't
put the sugar in.
Your caramel doesn't taste
We don't even put sugar
very...
in it. This Mom, this caramel's awful. It's got no flavor. It tastes like
brown burnt milk.
Yeah. What kind of orphanage are you running? Give me some real caramel.
I'd believe it's butter, milk, sugar, and...
Well, there's all kinds of...
How does that turn? Oh, it gets caramelized.
I don't know. So let me make a long story short. Everything is bad for you. There's not a food on this list. Like, everything I've ever heard of is on this list of foods that you should avoid if you're trying to eat healthy, except water. Many of these
say... I don't even trust the water now either, Bill. True. Come on.
I know. That's true, isn't it?
The bottom line is you're supposed to eat as natural as possible. The way things were grown or caught,
In olden days?
Honestly,
though,
yeah. So that
means you've got to eat dirt with your potatoes.
That's all left.
There's dirt on the potatoes all the time.
I know, but I'm saying earth, soil.
Wendy, tofu is on this list. Am I making that up? Tofu is bad for you.
What's the harmful ingredient in that?
Magnesium sulfate and foo. That's why right. Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters have been making a business for 20 years of fighting this stuff. It's not by accident, you know. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Can I ask Steve a quick favor? Steve, can you do me a favor?
Anything for you, Bill.
Could you keep us updated on any Fairleigh Dickinson scores throughout the day?
Fairleigh Dickinson, they're taking on Florida Gulf Coast, and that's a little bit later tonight.
That's a key matchup.
It was actually in Dayton over the weekend, and they're getting all excited about it, putting up the tents for the parties and all of that.
Yep.
I could not care less.
Wendy, this is Fairleigh Dickinson we're talking about, the young son of Angie Dickinson.
It's fairly boring to me.
I just got a call.
The younger son of Angie Dickinson?
That's her youngest boy, Fairleigh.
Actually, they're not sure it's hers. It's just Fairleigh Dickinson.
Right, that's true. That's very true.
I've never heard of that before. I thought Gonzaga was the weirdest.
Yeah. There's names of schools you only hear in the month of March. You will not hear Fairleigh Dickinson or Gonzaga in any other month of the year except for March.
Good
Even
basketball
if you go
players.
There, they don't say it. Wait till March, then we'll tell you what school you go to.
Well, I have questions for Steve Bertrand, if I may.
Yeah, please.
What is your? You have you take trips, you take people, you take listeners.
Yes, take WGN listeners. We got one going to Prague and Vienna in July.
Steve Bertrand Travel.
SteveBertrandTravel.com.
It's on your internet.
It's on the World Wide Web. It's also on WGNRadio.com.
Can I ask
you? And I want to point this out. They take because I talked to Steve about this. They take you to your destination and then take you back.
We do. We've never lost anyone.
Right.
You know.
That was the mistake they made early on, but now they're bringing people back.
No
too,
wonder they're better than all the other travel places.
Yes. You know, that's one of the things we learned during the soft open, Bill. People want to come home.
Right. Eventually, right.
That's why you do it that way. Yep. Learn.
I have a couple of questions for you and the listeners, if they could help, too. 312-981-7200. Michael is going to Ireland. He leaves tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to miss him. I've been crying already.
Sure.
It's just for 10 days, not even 9 days,
I think.
This
is his first time away in another country without the rest of the family.
Yes.
Yeah. He's going to come back unrecognizable.
He'll come back a man.
You know, something is happening, though, I'm noticing. Why is that funny to you?
I don't know
you never came back a man.
I didn't, but other people, I hear stories that they do.
He has this ACT prep course he's been taking, and he has to miss one course because he'll be in Ireland. Good excuse.
Right.
And he was going to have to miss another one tonight because they have a choir concert. Who schedules a choir concert before the day they're leaving for Ireland with the choir?
I don't know.
Choir people.
Jeez. So he took it upon himself to email the ACT prep teacher and see if he could go Monday instead. So he went yesterday.
Good thinking.
All of a sudden, something's happening. He's starting to grow up. He realizes he is on his own.
Right.
There are chaperones. I'm looking at this thing right now that they have to sign on the bus to O'Hare. I understand that if I drink alcohol of any proof or commit any other serious offense listed in the student handbook, I will be sent home at my guardian's expense. Thank God I got insurance.
you don't anticipate any problems with him. He'll be fine.
I totally do not worry about that at all.
You know, in Hawaii, they give you a little lay when you land at the airport.
Sure.
In Dublin, it's a pint of Guinness. Just
it
so
is? Well,
he can't drink
Uh-oh.
It.
Uh-oh.
All right, here's my question to you, Steve Bertrand. Mm-hmm. You've been to Ireland?
Yes, many times.
The weather forecast is calling for some rain in the 40s and 50s.
Yes,
that's what they're saying.
You just described Ireland 365 days of the year.
Is that true?
I'm looking at the 5-day forecast for Dublin. And they say that the chance of rain is only about 10%.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Doesn't it always rain there?
Yeah, it's a green island. That's right. There's a lot of rain there.
They're going to a bunch of different places. They're going to some sheep farm somewhere.
Ooh, he'll really come back differently then. No, they show
Do you have to sign a waiver for that?
They show how they shear the sheep, and then you can buy a sweater from the sheep at the farm. It changes your life.
Forget it. Don't go to Steve Bertrand Travel. Go anywhere else.
I'm afraid you're not going to try to talk him out of this trip based on what Steve just said. Don't do that.
No, it'll be a great time.
No, I have questions because it says, you know, 40s and 50s with a potential for some rain, especially in the last few days. They're going to various locations, County Clare, County Cork, all these different places.
Cork.
Huh?
Cork. It's more, say it that way.
Cork?
Cork.
Cork.
Yeah. So plan for rain every day.
Okay, but
it says light rain.
But it says, now this is my question to you, okay? Your guys, mm-hmm. I can ask you this question.
Sure.
Think back to when you were a teenage guy.
All right.
It says, you know, bring a raincoat or something like that.
Galoshes?
Okay, first of all, no.
Okay.
But I was going to go buy Michael a raincoat, and I'm like, he's not going to wear a raincoat. He's a teenage guy.
Right. Unless your son was Paddington Bear, I probably wouldn't buy a raincoat at this point. Right.
So can I just get him a rain poncho? Or here's my other thought. Give him an umbrella.
No, just give him a jacket.
That's
Doesn't
all
he have
needs.
Like a windbreaker jacket?
No. He has an army jacket, a mm-hmm. wool pea coat.
I'd buy him a windbreaker jacket, and that's how you spend your cash.
That's right. Not bad. And because an umbrella is easy to pack, too. A collapsible umbrella, that's not hard to move with.
I don't think he'd use it. And the way it rains there a lot of times, it's just sort of like this...
Misty?
Yeah, it's like an all-encompassing wet.
Yeah.
So it's not like here where it's raining from the top down.
Right.
Here it's just rain everywhere.
It's just in the air.
So umbrella wouldn't do you much good.
All right. So I can't just get one of those rain ponchos?
Yeah.
You won't wear that.
You wear that.
No. So a windbreaker.
Right.
Well, you know, or a nylon jacket with a water repellent outside. That's all.
Where do you get one of those?
They have those Irish shops everywhere in every mall.
I'm not getting an Irish
all
thing.
Things Irish.
If you just go to Target, they're going to have spring jackets out there, water repellent.
That's
what do you mean, where
find.
Do you get one of those?
They're everywhere.
He just wears army jacket.
Is
it's
he
a
in the army?
Kid, yes.
He served in the army.
A couple of years.
I didn't know that.
Two concert level dress outfits. So two dress pants, two dress shirts, two ties.
That's what they're suggesting? That he brings all that? Because when they perform, they dress up.
Yeah, there's at least two, probably three performances. One is in, is there St. Patrick's Cathedral?
Cathedral, yes.
Yeah.
They're performing there on Palm Sunday.
Oh,
so they
nice.
Said to... Really dress up because people
that.
Take this. It's a sacred place,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Now tell them it's not a Catholic church.
It isn't?
No.
Is it a Protestant church?
Yeah, it's the Irish.
It is?
The Episcopal, is that what it is? Yeah,
it's the
Church of Ireland.
Oh.
Yeah. Some interesting things as I was looking through their itinerary. But they are allowed a 50-pound piece of luggage. Here's my main question, Steve Bertrand Travel.
Yeah.
So the music teacher said, you know, you could either take a really big suitcase and only pack it a little bit in case you get souvenirs or stuff, or just bring a smaller one. But if you leave a large suitcase empty for souvenirs, isn't it going to go over 50 pounds then when you, and he's not going to buy that many souvenirs. Don't you go small on this? He's a boy. He doesn't have a lot of hair products.
Right.
I need a separate suitcase just for all my hair stuff.
Sure.
I would tell him to throw the jackets and ties away because he'd never wear those again anyway.
When he's done performing, just toss them in the garbage there in Ireland.
He wears them at every concert performance.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, they make him dress up.
Okay.
You can't have disposable clothing to bring with you.
But you
what
can,
a great idea.
No, but you know what? When he's on the plane, have him wear an extra layer or two, an extra jacket or something. Then it doesn't go into his suitcase, and they don't charge it as weight.
They don't need I see what you're saying.
You know, just wear it on the plane.
Or a backpack. Is he going to bring a backpack
Yeah, they
the plane?
Get one carry-on and then a 50-pound check-in and a guitar.
So bring the carry-on so that it's a little bigger than he needs, and he can stuff stuff in there if he needs to.
Yeah.
And any good snack ideas. I've purchased beef jerky. And some Skittles, some Sour Patch.
He's not going to Mars.
But it's like a 12-hour flight.
They'll have Lucky Charms there, so don't pack those.
It's a 12-hour flight?
I don't know what it is. I know.
It's like an 8-hour flight.
He leaves at 5 p.m. O'Hare and arrives in Dublin at like 5 in the morning. Yeah.
Right. But it's a time difference, and it's like an 8-hour flight.
That's still eight hours on a plane. There's no way I could do it. I would be
sleep.
Screaming.
Make sure he sleeps.
You've been to Hawaii. That's about the same.
No.
You got little TVs in front of you now and everything.
I guess because you. Yeah, I guess.
It is.
But you stop in LA.
Los Angeles is 4 hours and then another four.
And then
four.
Two.
No, Los Angeles to Hawaii? That's closer to four than two. I don't think you went to Hawaii. I think they took you to some back lot and told you it was Hawaii.
Flew you around for 14 hours.
I guess it is that long. I can't stand sitting that long. I can't make a 2-hour car trip.
No.
Just give him lots of money and tell him to buy whatever he wants once he gets past security.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Easy. I got like an amount of euros, and then I was told by the bank, my sister who went to Italy said that you can just put your
ATM machine.
Yeah, you just take your ATM card, you find various locations, she in Italy, this will be in Ireland, that you put your ATM card and you get euros out.
Yeah.
It's magic. True?
You can put in the dollar card. Yeah, of course. It's just
just translates to where you are.
I've never been to another country.
Oh yeah. Well, you went to Epcot Center. It's like Epcot.
You just go to any ATM machine and stick your card in, and it asks you how much you want, and it spits out euros.
But you have to use the accent of the country that you're in.
Right. Well, actually, the machines speak foreign languages, right. So they recognize your American card.
Right.
I don't know what to believe from you guys.
It's all
I don't
true.
Even know what Everything's to true. Think anymore. Thank you so much for your help. How do people find you, Steve?
SteveBertrandTravel.com.
Thanks. You've been of no assistance.
It's on the internet.
That's why I'm here.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Then more show. It's Bill and Woody, WGN.
All right. Well, my job tonight is to go home and pack for my son going to Ireland. And I've been warned by everyone, don't kiss the Blarney Stone.
But for reasons that we're not sure are accurate, right? Would you agree with me?
Maybe Steve could answer this, because when I brought this up before, somebody said, you know, the Irish people relieve themselves on the Blarney
Why
Stone.
Why would they do that?
Well, come on.
They have nothing to gain in that.
That's like...
it's a wives' tale, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tourist stop. I mean, it's like saying that Americans do that at the Washington Monument.
Right.
I mean...
It's the same people who said, don't kiss the troughs over at Wrigley Field. You can kiss the troughs
Absolutely.
At Wrigley Field.
I've done that.
The cleanest clean
deal?
Can be.
So did you kiss it when you were there, Steve?
Honestly, I've never been there. We tend to sometimes avoid... I mean, a couple of my
Blarney
trips
Stone?
Have gone there, but try to avoid the really touristy spots.
Because I brought this up to someone I met from British Airways who was actually born in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
Noel. And I said, is it true they do that? He goes, I haven't heard of that. I just think it's weird to kiss a rock.
Yeah,
it is.
You have to climb up and lay on your back, and it's just...
It's a great photo op, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been done.
If you're a redhead, wouldn't you do it?
Tell him that's when he should go sneak the Guinness at the pub when everyone's doing that.
Do that. See what happens.
He will have a very rewarding experience in Ireland without having to kiss the Blarney Stone.
You could certainly... There's so much to see and do there. That shouldn't be the high point. He'll be fine.
Well, no, but that's on the itinerary.
Yeah.
They're going to a sheep farm, too.
Steve, anything?
There's a lot to learn at a sheep farm.
Yep. Yes, there is.
That was the latest, most tired sheep I have ever heard.
Steve did not want to commit on that. Steve was mentioning in the news before about Mitch McConnell. Now, what happened, Steve? He sat down. Did he sit down with Donald Trump, or was it a phone conversation?
Phone conversation and said, you know, hey, you need to condemn this violence.
Right. And do we know if Trump is going to do as advised by Mitch McConnell, or is that just something that will just...
Think back the last time Donald Trump did something advised by
right.
Mitch McConnell.
It doesn't happen a lot. Did you see what Ann Coulter has said about this?
I saw a reference to it, but I didn't read
it. I'll read
you
the...
Was she dating again? Allegedly?
We have to say allegedly because I asked this person if this was true, and he would not confirm this.
Wasn't he in the studio when you asked
him? But there are rumors that Ann Coulter, that's the cute stick that often shows up on political talk shows, that Ann Coulter is dating Jimmy Walker of Good Times.
Oh, yeah. Well, you asked him a lot of things and he didn't want to answer.
He was very evasive when it came to asking.
I'm in a car for 15 hours trying to get here.
He was not the happiest person we've ever had on the show, Jimmy Walker. But Ann Coulter, and again, if you haven't seen Ann Coulter, her whole game is to say things that stir people up, because I guess that translates into book sales, for better or worse. If her name is in the headlines or semi-headlines, then eventually people will get around to reading her book, although it works the opposite on me. The more I see of Ann Coulter, the less I want to read anything she's written. But conservative commentator Ann Coulter has weighed in on the debate over Republican presidential candidates Donald Trump increasingly physical campaign events. Here's what she says. Ready? This is her tweet, Ann Coulter's tweet about Donald Trump. I would like to see a little more violence from the innocent Trump supporters set upon by violent leftist hoodlums. So even though everybody is saying we've got to find a way to curtail the violence and make things better and safer, Ann Coulter says, no, the right way to do this is to get more violent. That's what we need.
So is she looking to get on Donald Trump's cabinet?
Maybe.
Because it really sounds like she's spinking his language.
Maybe. There's got to be some agenda. Again, if you listen to most of the things she says, she goes so against the grain all the time to get attention, and it's working, where she's getting plenty of attention. But I can't think of too many people who are in agreement. These things are not violent enough. What could we do to spruce these things up and make them a little more caustic?
I'm going to wake up from this nightmare, aren't I?
You would hope at some point. It doesn't seem to be anytime soon, but yeah, at some point you would think, right?
And Steve, you may know the answer to this. Of course, get out and vote. Today is the primary here in Illinois, and the polls are open till 7 p.m. We were talking about this earlier. You can go, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, and vote in the primary for whomever you'd like.
Right.
So just request either a Republican or Democrat ticket when you're out there. What about absentee votes? Someone had texted in that it had to be postmarked by today, but aren't they? They're not going to get it today.
Yeah,
so
no, I
know. All the tallies.
My daughter was texting me pictures of hers. She just got hers in the mail in Ohio. Maybe it was Monday. I think it was maybe yesterday to vote today. And I said, yeah, it's probably too late. I mean,
they say it has to be just postmarked by today. But then when do they tally those votes?
Well, they'll tally them up if they need them, I guess.
Oh,
if it's close, they go to that.
I don't really know the answer to that, but.
But even though she's in Ohio and that's a city, that's a state that's having a primary today, she just can't show some sort of ID and vote there for Illinois because she's in Ohio.
No, but in Illinois now, you can, as you've been talking about, show up and register to vote and vote today in Illinois.
Yeah.
If Ohio had that law, then she could go vote in Ohio today.
That's what I thought.
In the Ohio races, not the Illinois races.
Yeah, but then where is she going to be in November? Does she have to come back here and register, re-register?
Probably,
see, that's where
yeah.
the confusion
but
is.
Actually, she won't be here in November. She'll be there still.
So she'd be registered as an Ohio voter, obviously, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
All right. And that's not an option for her, even though?
No, they don't. I mean, they don't have day of voting registration
there. They
don't. There.
Right.
No.
Okay.
All right. Well, get out and exercise your right to vote.
Right. Do them at the same time. That's absolutely right.
All walk right. to the polling place.
Walk briskly.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then we have more for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thanks, Steve. Bill and Wendy here, 720 WGN. As Steve mentioned, I know it's primary day. I am going on my way home to the polls. People have been texting saying that lines have not been that long. They've been in and out in 10 minutes.
Well, how about Kevin, our producer, decides, I'm going to beat this by a day because I don't want to wait in long lines. How long were you in line for yesterday, Kevin?
About an hour and 45 minutes.
Hour and 45 minutes. Your girlfriend went in and voted today, and it took her how long?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Fiancé,
sorry. Don't speak French.
Escalated now.
I'm sorry. But you think I can beat the system by going in a day early. It worked against them.
But see, everybody's trying to beat the system.
I know.
That's what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an interesting phone call last night about between 7:30 and 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked for my husband, Jim.
Yep.
And I said he is unavailable at the moment because I was screening for him.
It's polite. He was in the bathroom, obviously.
Actually, he wasn't, but I just wanted to see who it was. So I said, he's unavailable at the moment. May I take a message? And she said, and it was weird because it was like, just say who you are. And she said, well, I'm calling about the presidential race.
Oh.
And I said, okay, well, can I take a message?
Capacity?
Nothing. It was very vague like that. Huh. And then I said, well, I can give him a message. And she said, no, I need to talk to him. I need to talk to the registered voter. I said, I'm a registered voter. Yeah, but I need to talk to the registered voter that I'm calling. You may get a call in 10 minutes, but I can't, you know.
She has a call list and needs to talk to those people directly, not a family member, but
right.
to that particular person.
And,
right.
and someone else, I'm on someone else's list or some other person is going to call me later, which I never got the call.
Yeah.
And it was very strange because then she goes on to say, are you voting in the primary tomorrow? And I said, absolutely. And she said, may I ask which candidate you're leaning more towards. And
how did she switch from not wanting to give out any information to asking you these questions?
Because I didn't hang up, and we were still, you know, conversing.
Oh, all right.
You know me. I will talk to anyone.
I know. This is a great example of that.
I mean,
she didn't want to answer any of your questions, and then before long, you had all of her information. That was amazing.
No, and that's what's bothering me is I had none of her information because she. I said, may I ask who's calling? Well, it's just, it's a presidential, I don't
like
even
a
remember.
Survey or something? What was?
No, she just said, I'm representing one of the presidential candidates or something along those lines, but still didn't give her name or anything. So then I said, well, I'm a registered voter. And that's when she said, no, I need to talk to this registered voter. Are you planning on voting? Yes, I am. May I ask who you're leaning towards? And I was about to answer her because, you know, I will talk to anyone. And then I'm thinking in my head.
That's personal. You don't know who it is.
Right. And so I go, I don't even know who you are
right.
or why you're calling. And I don't feel that's any of your information.
Right.
And then there was a little dead air. And she goes, so Jim is unavailable at the moment? And I said, yes. And she goes, okay, then I'll call back in about 10 minutes.
But she didn't?
No one called back then.
Sometimes.
That's weird.
In the past, we've had a reminder to vote from somebody, a friendly reminder that, you know, polling is tomorrow, so get on out there.
But wouldn't they tell you that you could tell Terry
Absolutely.
To remind you?
They wouldn't be that specific that they needed to speak directly to her or in this
I
case
know.
To Jim. I'm not sure why they would do that.
And without identifying yourself, of course, I got, you know, the call from Jesse White.
Oh, did Jesse
machine.
White call?
Yes. Well, hope you remember to get out and vote for me, Secretary of State.
Yeah.
It wasn't him, really. I mean, it was him.
It was
but
a
it was
RoboCop
a, yes.
pre-recorded. Yeah.
RoboCop?
Was it RoboCop? Hi, this is Peter Weller. You know me as RoboCop. Don't forget, get out there and vote. Yeah, I would be nervous if I were you. I would sell my home.
I'm not
live there
doing
anymore.
That, but I just, and there have been just so many calls lately. I am on that do not call list. Is that something that you have to do every day where you have to register?
Well, political calls are.
I know they don't count.
That's not part of the do not call. And those are the ones that, of all the calls, should be in there.
Oh, totally.
I don't know how they got around that.
I don't either.
But that was set up to not disturb people, and the political calls should be at the top of that list, not exempt from the list. I don't know how they got around it.
But I have gotten probably 10 calls in the last couple of weeks about, you know, we've your credit card is not, your account is not in trouble, but we do have a great deal now on mortgage rate. It's
sure.
like, take me off your list.
Well,
and you can't even tell them because they're robocalls.
Right, I know. I know that. That's true. Oh, and I don't know if you get this with those calls, but a lot of times I'll get those while we're doing the show. So all I get is a number. It doesn't say who it is. Obviously, it's a number. But then when I call it back, it doesn't go through to anywhere. I don't know how they pull that off. And why would they pull that off? Wouldn't they, like if I was interested in what they were trying to sell me, wouldn't my calling them back be good for business? I can't tell you how many times I've seen a number and then I call that number back. I don't recognize it. And it's not hooked up to anything.
I also got the IRS call that I'm being audited. And if I don't call back at this attorney or I'll be taken to court.
Yeah.
And here's the weird thing. It was like a guy talking from a speakerphone.
Oh,
I don't think the IRS, which I know now, and I did research, and there's been stories.
Right.
They're not going to call you. They're going to send you a letter.
Yeah.
But it's like some dude on a speakerphone going, this is Wendy McInerney. Okay, if this is Wendy McInerney, will you please call us back? And it's like...
They'd probably be a more official way of doing that than just calling you through a speakerphone, a megaphone.
I know, it was a total speakerphone.
And
I called
people,
him back, and then I gave him $1 million, and we're supposed to have lunch next week.
You should not have done that. You shouldn't have done that. A quick break, more show. That's all ahead. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200. If you're on hold, stay there, and we'll get to those calls next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. If you're just joining us, Wendy has been getting some mysterious phone calls from people who have political-based questions, not for you, but for your husband.
And they won't identify themselves, and I just think it's very weird that, you know, may I talk to the registered voter, Jimmy Mack? Yes, he's not available. And then I said, can I take a message? No. Are you voting in the primary tomorrow? Who are you leaning more towards?
Yep.
And then I said, I'm not going
to
tell you that.
You don't need to
tell them
that.
I don't even know who you are.
And they didn't ask if you had Prince Albert in a can. Because that's how it
usually did ask if my refrigerator was running.
I love when they ask that.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys today?
We're good.
Great.
I wanted to let you know my daughter is a junior in high school. She's 17. She turns 18 September the 30th. We are taking her this afternoon to register and to vote in the primary, and then she'll be able to vote at the general election in November.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it is, because we're going to go vote together, and we talked about it, and she's done all of her homework. She's, you know, looked into every candidate. She knows who she wants to vote for, and she knows why. So I am just so proud. And parents said their kids are 17. Now, if they turn 18 prior to the election, they can register.
Well, that is some good information, although probably too late, because some places, I guess, you can do in person today at the polling place, but not every place allows that.
Most of them do, and we do out, I live in Rockford, and they do allow it out here.
Well, pretty cool. Wish her luck and congratulations on her first vote. That's pretty exciting.
It is fun to see the passion, because this will be the first election that either of my daughters are able to vote in, and I see them paying so much more attention because of that. They've watched so many of the debates with us and the town hall meetings with us, and I don't think when I was 19 I had that kind of interest in it, but they both do. So I like watching them watch the process.
My first election was pretty fun because you do feel like your vote matters, and it does.
Right.
It really does. Chopper Bobby, Breaker 19, we got to be 57 in progress. How are you?
Yes, Chopper Bobby here, getting off on Central on 290 here. You know what, Wendy? I love you guys, first of all.
Well, thank you.
You're hilarious.
Thank you.
You guys make my day. I got a landline at home, you know, for emergencies, right?
Yeah.
It's hooked up to an answering machine. I'm going, you know, maybe 3-4 hours one day last week. The whole machine was full of these robocalls, and when they realize it's a machine, then they hang up. So it's like half of a message, and it's just unbelievable. And then the thing, I drive for a little roll-off company called JL Roll-Off, and they're putting their signs on our dumpsters, not even on the grass. They're like, you know,
they're political signs that should not be on private property.
They're on our dumpsters. We put dumpsters in the street for roofers or for whatever. What I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
They're covering up our logo. So they say, I'll roll up. I got a sign up right here in the truck with me. It is, be ready. That was covering up our one dumpster. Unbelievable, you know?
Well, it'll get better tomorrow, and then it'll start up again, you know, in November. Thank you so much, Chopper Bobby.
It gets slightly better tomorrow, but I've noticed, by me anyway, I'm guessing it's like this in most places, even after the election for the next few weeks, whoever puts those signs down forgets to come and collect them when the election is over. So you have an extra 2 or 3 or 4 weeks reminding you to vote for their favorite candidate, even though the election has long since passed.
Right.
Nobody does much by way of cleanup on those.
I have to give a website out because people are still asking, and I don't know where I put it, so that's a problem right now.
Right.
People want to know where you go to find out where you register to vote, because everybody has, depending on where you live.
Right.
And what was it? I'll find it for you before we get out of here. And somebody wants to know why we still have landlines. I can't cut the umbilical cord.
It's the strangest thing. I know that we'd be saving money to just go the cell phone route. But when I'm at home, I don't use my cell phone at all. I am one of those people who believes that all the contact that close to your brain is not the best thing in the world for you. So I go out of my way to not use my cell phone.
I think a lot of people believe that because it's true.
I'm serious. I'm so afraid that the incidence of brain cancer keep going up and up and up. And I think there's something to that. So when I'm at home, I almost exclusively use my landline as opposed to my cell phone.
Well, I don't ever use it. I
Your
just
landline?
Was talking, never.
No?
I never use it.
Then why do you keep it then?
I always feel like in case of an emergency, but
yeah.
We all have cell phones. The four of us have cell phones.
Right.
I used to blame it on like, well, if we have a babysitter, you know, and they don't have a cell phone, but who doesn't have a cell phone?
Yeah.
And we don't have babysitters anymore, just for Jim.
Right. Sad but true.
It's elections.illinois.gov.
So that tells you, you just type in your name and it tells you where you need to go today to vote.
Yeah, there's a window that you have to figure out because voter online registration for voters is now closed. But you can go to what I just said that I forgot, Illinois voter elections.illinois.gov. And it can tell you where to find out where your polling place is.
All right. That's a little easier.
That's what I had to say. And the landline thing, yeah, we should probably get rid of them. Do you really use your phone at home?
I use my phone at home more often than I use my cell phone. I really do.
Do you really?
Yeah. I don't like carrying it around with me all day. I know that everybody else on the planet has it 24 hours a day. I like to be separate from it. It's better for me to be separate from it.
Do you remember the day I forgot my phone and I...
You panicked.
I panicked for a minute, but then it was the best day I have ever had. Because no one could get in touch with me. I couldn't help. It was so nice to be untethered for once.
I would say once every month, month and a half, I just forget to bring it wherever I go. And there is that second of, oh, what am I going to do now? I know what I'll do now. What I did for years and years. I'll just survive without it. And it's the best. There's
it
no
really
pressure.
It really was. Because I just hate the questions I get. Yeah. Where's the underwear? I don't know. Your drawer?
And those are from strangers. People just call you
but
up.
But I'll still talk to
they
them.
They want to know where their underwear is. That's a good service you provide.
I like to help people,
Underwearlocator.com if you're looking for your underwear. Wendy can help you with that. That's a 24-hour service you're doing?
Yes. No, not 24 hours.
No,
I go to midnight.
23 hours.
I can't go beyond midnight.
All right.
I'm busy.
That's a big service.
I need
service,
stuff though. To do. All right. Well, it is a big primary day today in Illinois, and you need...
Can I make a prediction, by the way, an insane prediction about the political climate? I predict that by this time tomorrow, Marco Rubio has pulled himself out of the race. Suspended his campaign. They never pull themselves out of the race. They suspend their campaigns. I say that by this time tomorrow, Marco Rubio is no longer a factor in the race.
All right. What are we betting?
What do I get if
you're right?
I get one free month of that underwear locator service that you've set up.
Okay.
One free month.
All right. Well, let's take a break and talk to Rokan. And I don't know if Anna is back, but I know today's the primary. I have to vote. I want to beat the traffic and get out there
and
vote.
All right. We'll do that next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.